Kozlowski and an associate will continue at least for a while longer. NBC's Ann Thompson in New York says the judge has refused to grant a mistrial despite reports jurors are squabbling.
In a series of notes, the jury described a poisonous atmosphere that's left it irreparably compromised and blamed it on one juror, who in a separate note complained other jurors do not have an open mind to the possibility of the defendant's innocence.
Kozlowski and his former colleague are accused of stealing hundreds of millions of dollars. U.S. troops in northern Iraq have shot and killed four people suspected of carrying out several attacks in the region. Two Americans were wounded in the gun battle. Mel Gibson's controversial movie The Passion will be shown in France despite a request to have it banned because it could inspire anti-Semitism. A French court says the film won't threaten public order. I'm Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
More and more pet owners are discovering PetCare RX, your pet's online drugstore.
I used to buy my dog's arthritis and prescription products from my vet, but then I found PetCare RX online. It's definitely worth trying to get the best price you can.
PetCare RX works with your vet to fulfill all your pet's needs.
I was uneasy about how my vet would react, but he was fine with my buying my pet's medicine from PetCare RX.
Go to PetCareRx.com. That's PetCareRx.com or call 1-866-PetCareRx. That's 1-866-PetCareRx.
And now for a traffic update, we go to Kelly Clark. Kelly, how's it looking out there?
Well, if you've got to get anywhere, I hope you have lots of time. Uh-oh. All northbound lanes at the Taylor Interchange are backed up. Westbound lanes are at a standstill, and the off-ramp near the Martin Building remains closed, causing major headaches.
Not good.
But I do have good news.
What's that, Kelly?
I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Talk to Doug Kellett.
I be very honest. I have listened to her three times.
Okay.
Can't get past the first 15 minutes of the show. This is the only radio station that I have programmed into my radio at home.
Bless you, Robin.
I have found this station. This is home, and I thoroughly enjoy this station.
Well, I tell you what, if there's only one show you don't like, we're doing all right, Robin.
You are.
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 61 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the network of 17 John Elway Auto Nation showrooms. Got an injury accident, Tower and Smoky Hill, a rollover there. 5th and Bryanton accident has been working for a while. It's in the cleanup stages, but people still on scene. Got a box of metal debris northbound I-25 at Founders Parkway causing problems as well. At John Elway Showrooms, you get a certified used vehicle with a 99-day warranty and a money-back guarantee. No worries at all when you get a John Elway certified used vehicle. Honest. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
19-year-old Amber Torres is in custody in connection with the fatal stabbing of a cab driver early this morning. Denver Police Detective Teresa Garcia says investigators still don't know what prompted the argument that led to the cabbie's death.
Sure, what detectives are looking for is the motive or what sparked the fight. So no, as of this time, no, we don't have a reason as to why this cab driver was stabbed.
The victim, who was a longtime driver for Freedom Cab Company, was rushed to Denver Health following the stabbing and died a short time later. His name is being withheld. This report brought to you by TV Guide. The autopsy of Heather DeWild was released today, but the report leaves its readers still wondering just how the Edgewater mother died. The 30-year-old DeWild disappeared last July after meeting with her estranged husband. 2 months later, her body was found in Clear Creek Canyon. The coroner's report produces questions as well as answers. It determined that DeWild was not shot, but cannot tell if she was strangled. That's because the tissue on her neck was badly decomposed. The autopsy also showed her skull was cracked after she died, but it's unclear whether that was caused by the killer or the front-end loader that discovered her body amidst the debris. Meanwhile, Edgewater Police Lieutenant Dan Keough says his department has known this information for some time and that it hasn't influenced the investigation. Sections of the report will remain sealed until someone is arrested or charged for DeWild's murder. All city officers are closed today in honor of Cesar Chavez Day in Colorado. Felicia Garcia, co-chairperson of the Cesar Chavez Peace and Justice Committee, said Chavez always fought for the migrant farm worker.
He helped unite the farm workers, develop a union. He fought for basic human rights, which is something they never had before, which is amazing to us to think that they didn't have such basic human rights as just good living conditions. And he fought for something that nobody wanted to fight for at the time.
Garcia says that since much of the work Chavez did was in the 60s, many people in the Anglo and Chicano communities don't know who he is. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche host the LA Kings tonight in January when they last met the Avs and Kings, skated to a 3-all tie. The Avs continue to struggle. They're winless in their last six games. Colorado Rockies take on the San Francisco Giants this afternoon as spring training continues. Yesterday, the Rocks beat the Texas Rangers 9-4. Denver Nuggets are off tonight, but they'll be back in action against the Seattle Supersonics tomorrow night at the Pepsi Center. What's on TV tonight? TV Guide Channel knows. Watch the all-new series What's On and find what's new, what's best, and what's next on TV. Tonight, only on TV Guide Channel. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Hear more live weekend talk than any Denver radio station. Listen for Ben Ferguson live Sunday nights at 6 p.m. exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
At Computer Associates, we believe that management software is the answer. How can you increase ROI? Management. How do you maximize productivity and increase efficiency? Management. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? Management. How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood? Management. Okay, all right. Maybe management isn't the answer to everything. But to find out how the right management software can help you make the most of your entire enterprise, go to ca.com/radio today.
I'm Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Sunshine out there today, warmer, high of 64. Later on tonight, clear skies down to 34. And for tomorrow, we're looking at mostly sunny skies, 65. Sunshine back again for Wednesday, warm, high of 70. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 61 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. Later in today's broadcast, we are giving away tickets to the Tommy Frank Lecture, and that's tomorrow night at Betcher Hall, I think, isn't it? And let's see, let me give you the information. We're going to be giving two pairs of tickets to the Tommy Frank's Lecture, and the lecture is tomorrow night, 7 p.m., Betcher Concert Hall, which is 1245 Champa. Champa in about, 14th or something like that. The value of the tickets is $66. You have to pick them up at the station. And you have to do that today. Or tomorrow, but you have to do it before the lecture. And the lecture is at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. The value of the tickets is $66. So we will be giving two pairs of tickets away during the broadcast. Also later in the broadcast, we are going to be joined by David Shipler, former New York Times writer. He's written a book that's getting a lot of attention called The Working Poor, Invisible in America. He has won a Pulitzer Prize, and those of you who are among the working poor, it will come as no surprise that you are invisible in America. And a book has already been written about this by Barbara Ehrenreich called Nickel and Dimed in America that you might have seen. So we'll be talking about that. Lots of things to talk about today. One of the first things to talk about is that, just to let you know, Peter Ustinov, who was 82 years old, died. Remember he did the narration for Peter and the Wolf? He's a wonderful actor. He was gifted in a lot of different ways, not simply as an actor. And he is dead at 82. He was an Oscar winner. He was Sir Peter Ustinov, Jowly. Remember him? Jowly, award-winning actor. Kind of a jack-of-all-trades, jack-of-all-arts, because he was a performer, an author, a witty raconteur. He was very witty. He died in Switzerland, which had been his home. He had diabetes. He won two Oscars for Best Supporting Actor, one in Spartacus, which was in 1960, and one in a movie called Topkapi. He also played in Billy Budd and Appointment with Death, and he was on TV a lot, and he could speak 6 languages fluently. French, German, English, Italian, Russian, Spanish. To generations of young listeners, he's probably best remembered for his narration of Peter and the Wolf with Herbert von conducting Tchaikovsky's music. It won the 1959 Grammy Award for Best Recording for Children, and you hear it every single year. So he's dead at 82. Who watched 60 Minutes last night? Did anybody make it a point to stay home and watch 60 Minutes last night? I did. Moi did. Well, I was busy. You know how I say I can't cook except in the kitchen? Well, I surprised all of my friends because we had a reunion of all of us who went to Venice last night, and it was one person's birthday. And so I was tasked with bringing the cake. Well, A, I think I've only made one cake in my life, and B, I'm not a big cake fan. So I said, well, instead of bringing a cake, could I, and we were going to just order a cake out, but you know, they all taste like cardboard when you send out, you know, when you order out for them. And I said, could I make an ice cream pie instead? And I haven't done that in really, 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 really long time. So they said, okay, so here's what I did, boys and girls and buckaroos. I made a graham cracker crust, which takes zero energy. It's really simple to do. Don't buy it. Make it. It's simple. And then I loaded up my graham cracker crust with Häagen-Dazs Swiss almond vanilla ice cream. And then I broke up some pieces of Enstrom toffee and put it on top. And then I drizzled some chocolate on top of that. And then I put it all in the freezer. Now that is not too hard to do. But you have to do it in stages, because if you do everything all at once, it'll all get mushy and everything, so you have to kind of freeze in stages. And it came out, and I thought that I would have to leave some behind. They ate it all up. And I'm going to tell you something. I didn't say it to anybody there last night, but it wasn't perfect. I just, you know, when you make something for the first time in a long time, you forget all the little adjustments that you made to make it better when you were really in full flower. And I haven't made a graham cracker crust anything in about a zillion years, so it came out pretty well. But I was concerned because, A, I had to miss The Sopranos, and B, I did not want to miss Condi Rice on 60 Minutes. They had a huge viewership, but they didn't give her nearly the time that they gave Richard Clark the week before. And the only reason that she came on 60 Minutes was to, the White House is trying to spin madly and ferociously. They are really going, pulling the attack dogs out on Dick Clark. They're calling him American Grandstand. It's a play on, remember Dick Clark and American Bandstand? He had to be about 1,000 years old, remember that. 303-382-1150. So, did anybody watch Condoleezza Rice? And here's my question. Did she do what the White House wanted her to do? In other words, she was trying to explain why it is she is not testifying before the 9/11 Commission. And I don't think she did a particularly good job of it. I think she didn't. I think if you were not a fan of Condi Rice's before, she didn't make you a fan. I didn't think she presented a particularly good case. To me, it sounded like she was spinning her wheels. I wonder whether she countered the effects of the Dick Clark testimony before the 9/11 Commission and his blockbuster interview on 60 Minutes the week before. He really has gotten them where they live. And in the new polling that is out, where President Bush, he didn't do well in the economy, has not been doing well in the economy when voters are asked about his job performance and other areas. But when it came to the war on terror, that's when he could pick up some numbers. But he is losing ground very quickly, just since the Clark book came out. And here's the other question that I'm mystified. I'm mystified by this piece of information. In order for the Dick Clark book, which is so nasty to the current administration and is really flying off the shelves, really attacks them, hits a nerve, gets them where they live, seems to corroborate the previous books that Paul O'Neill helped out with and John DiIulio helped out with and so on. So it corroborates previous members of the Bush administration and their observations. In order for Clark's book to be published, the White House had to vet it, and they had 3 months to do it. Maybe they kept it as long as they could, so they knew what the book said. The White House had to okay certain portions of it so that nothing classified was being released. Presumably, they saw the whole manuscript, presumably, before the book could be published. And if they didn't see the whole manuscript, certainly they must have seen some of the more incendiary parts of the book. So they should have been girded. You know, it's like 9/11. They had all this warning for 9/11, and when the date came, where were they? They were out to lunch in Crawford, Texas. And they had all this warning that the Dick Clark book was going to be published. And where were they? I guess asleep at the wheel, because it, the way they're handling it now, the impression you have is that all of this comes as a big surprise and they've been blindsided. In fact, they got to vet the contents of the book. 303-382-1150. Did you see Condoleezza Rice last night on 60 Minutes? Did she change your mind one way or the other? Richard Benveniste, the one of the 9/11 commission members, he was a Watergate prosecutor, he said she's been appearing everywhere except for my neighborhood Starbucks. Why can't she come before the 9/11 commission? And even some Republicans are privately saying, you know, she's got a credibility problem here. Also, I believe she's leaving the administration. Seems to me that I read some reporting about that, that she plans to leave the administration at the end of her term, before the, or, you know, right around the time of the election, or, you know, in other words, she's not going to stay past the first term. 303-382-1150. So here you have, and in another piece of news, in case you do you feel like you're safer? Let me ask you, do you feel safer? Well, let me just give you this piece of information here. The year-old Department of Homeland Security is declaring a hiring freeze at two of its frontline units because of a potential $1.2 billion budget shortfall. A third frontline unit, the Citizenship and Immigration Service, also has a hiring freeze in effect because of an unrelated shortfall in fee assessments. The timing for the news, and this is from the Wall Street Journal, could not be worse for the Bush administration. Speaking this week before the National Commission on Terrorist Attacks upon the U.S., known as the 9/11 Commission, former White House Counterterrorism Chief Richard Clark raised serious questions about the administration's security efforts against al-Qaeda prior to 9/11. What this has done, Dick Clark talking, has reopened the conversation about whether it was wise to go to war against Iraq. You know, we sort of put it to bed. We're there. We didn't seem to have much of a thought-out plan for the occupation. And now suddenly, with Richard Clark opening up the conversation again, everybody wonders whether we should have gone into Iraq. Some people are pro, some people are con. But what Clark is saying is absolutely what I've been saying, and I wasn't involved in reading classified information or in the deepest reaches of counterterrorism, the counterterrorism universe. It did not make us safer to go into Iraq. It has made us more unsafe, really. It has made us more vulnerable. 303-382-1150. Did you watch Condi last night? Ben, calling from Elgin, Illinois. Hi, Ben. You're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid. This is Ben Birch from WhiteRoseSociety.org, where we archive your show and people can listen to it 24/7.
Thank you so much for doing that.
Yes.
Have a lot of traffic to that site? Do you know?
Tremendous amounts.
To mine, or to who else do you archive?
We have you. We've got no longer because she's now on Air America. We had Randy Rhodes, mm-hmm. Mike Malloy, Tom mm-hmm. Hartman, Joseph Vecchio, Guy James, and a few others.
I get the most traffic?
Who gets the most traffic? Well, generally Tom Hartman gets more traffic, but you get about 400 hits a day.
I get 400 hits a day from all over the world.
Earth?
Oh, that's good. Great. Thank you so much for that, Ben. How do people know that you exist? How do they?
Well, I advertise. If you do a Google search for any of the announcers, there'll be a paid ad that comes up and points you to my site.
Mm.
And I post it everywhere.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Anyways, I watched Condoleezza Rice, and, you know, I grew up in a tavern. It was our family business. I spent most of my early years, till I was like 22, behind the bar. You know, before I was of age, I was, you know, loading the coolers and talking to people, and after that I was serving drinks and talking to people. And I learned to know when somebody was lying. You know, your BS detector gets really good when you tend bar. And to me, all I saw last night of Condoleezza Rice was evasions and lies. She was lying to save her life.
Well, spinning, certainly. She was spinning so much, she was so dizzy, her eyeballs could hardly focus.
Yeah. I saw nothing but evasion there. The vocal tones I heard from her were those I associate with people who are telling a whopper.
Really?
I would love to see an actual professional voice.
All right, now beyond that, I know that where they analyze the tones and stuff like that, but
right.
Beyond that, do you think, I didn't think she turned in what you would call a blockbuster performance, so I don't think that she changed anybody's mind.
I don't think she changed anybody's mind. It was a really bad performance. I mean, she's not a good liar. Most of the people in this administration are not good liars, with the exception of Cheney. Cheney's
oh, are you
lie.
Kidding? I think Rumsfeld, Cheney, I think you have professional-grade liars.
Rumsfeld's a bad
and not liar. To mention Dickey.
Rumsfeld, if you listen to him when he's telling a really big fib, he stutters a little.
That's your take on it?
Yes, that's my opinion listening to Rumsfeld. Cheney, however, I don't think the man knows when he's lying.
Well, I think he's got a crooked smile, a crooked heart, and I think he's really your president. Big Dick in the White House. He's your real president. Ben, I thank you for all the good that you do. So if anybody wants to hear all my shows, they're archived on whiterosesociety.org.
Correct.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 303-382-1150. Anybody who saw 60 Minutes last night, and by the way, now that the 9/11 Commission has offered for Condoleezza Rice not to testify under oath, she just has to testify. But here's the little catch, 22 on that one, that if you do testify in front of any kind of, I think congressional, is that considered a congressional committee? It seems like if you testify in front of a congressional committee and you lie in circumstances like this, you can still be hauled off to the pokey, even if you're not under oath. So it's something along those lines. That's probably why she doesn't want to do it publicly. That would be my guess. 303-382-1150. Dorothy calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yes, Enid. The understanding that I have with Condoleezza is that she wants to, but that the lawyers in Washington don't want her to. Bush also wants her to. So why don't you get your facts straight?
Well, that's not exactly right, Dorothy. There have been other occasions in the past where advisors to the president have in fact testified when they have decided that it has an overwhelming public interest. So
wait a minute. I'm just telling you, she wants to.
No, she really doesn't want to.
Yes,
if she wanted,
does.
If she says that, but the administration could make her.
What makes you think she doesn't want to?
Dorothy, darling, the administration could make her available if they wanted to do it, and they aren't doing it.
Well, I understand she wants to. Bush wants to, will let her.
Well,
but it's the lawyers that say don't do it.
Dorothy, who is the president of the United States right now? Do you think?
Well, he has advisors, my dear. He doesn't make all the decisions.
But isn't he the president? Isn't he the president in chief? If he wanted her to testify and others in the administration wanted her to testify, I promise you, Dorothy, she would be testifying. 303-382-1150. And she doesn't want to testify in front of Congress if or under oath because she could be hauled off to the pokey. She might wind up sharing a cell with Martha Stewart. And then they could have a catfight as to who's going to decorate it. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
No matter what happens, where it happens, or how it happens, get the information you need here first. First, AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Honey, come on. Time to get up.
What?
People will be here soon.
Oh, all right. I'm going to take a shower. Who are you?
Hi. We're here for the open house. The sign says for sale by owner. That is you, right? Nice sink.
Thank you.
Not working with the Century 21 agent? Only Century 21 agents offer the Century 21 Service Pledge. Just one of the ways to help reduce the stress of selling real estate. Century21.com. Real estate for your world.
The Century 21 Pledge is offered by participating offices. Each office is independently owned and operated.
It's great to be camping, Raymond, and such a beautiful night. I love nature.
Except when it stops.
You're constipated?
Oh, Raymond.
Here, try Phillips Chocolate Cream Chews.
They taste great.
Unlike many overnight laxatives, Phillips Chocolate Cream Chews are stimulant-free. They work more naturally with your body for comfortable, cramp-free relief. Feeling better this morning, Raymond?
You better believe it.
Phillips, comfortable, cramp-free relief.
Tickets are on sale now for the 2004 KeyBank Denver Distinguished Lecture Series, featuring the dynamic lineup of retired General Tommy Franks on Tuesday, March 30th, and Steve Forbes on Monday, May 17th. Tickets are still available for these compelling speakers. For information on the remaining ticket packages, go to www.denverlectureseries.com and expand your world by attending the 2004 KeyBank Distinguished Lecture Series, a program of junior achievement and sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC. We'll be right back.
I'm Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio. A rally on Wall Street with the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 125 points and the NASDAQ up 31. Analyst upgrades are helping to lift the market today. Prudential is raising its investment rating on Citigroup. The firm says it has increased confidence in the company's international activities and capital markets. Schwab Soundview is upgrading Qualcomm on the belief that the chipmaker will benefit from increased demand. Shares are higher by almost 7%. Boston Scientific says it has won FDA approval for a less invasive treatment for systematic uterine fibroids. That condition can cause prolonged menstrual bleeding and infertility. Amgen says it will buy the roughly 80% of Tularik that it does not already own for $1.3 billion. The biotech company says the move is aimed at gaining technology to treat cancer and inflammatory diseases. No relief at the pumps. The average American says that they are paying gas prices that are at a record. Sue Herrera, CNBC Business Radio.
One of the best-kept secrets in beauty and fashion is the Walgreens fragrance counter. You'll find designer department store fragrances like White Diamond, Celine, Dracar, and Cool Water, all for less than department store's everyday prices. Many fragrances have testers so you can try a new fragrance before you buy. Just ask your Walgreens beauty advisor. Why deal with long lines and the hassle of mall parking when Walgreens has over 4,300 stores, many open 24 hours? Walgreens, why go anywhere else?
Why is buying a home so complicated? Where do I find an inspector? How do they get the house key out of that box hanging on the doorknob? I mean, do you need a key to get the key?
Coldwell Banker received the J.D. Power & Associates Award for the highest overall satisfaction for first-time homebuyers among national full-service real estate firms. So let us help you. Coldwell Banker. Visit coldwellbanker.com.
All offices independently owned and operated except offices owned and operated by NRG Incorporated. For J.D. Power & Associates Award information, visit jdpower.com.
She's the Rush alternative.
Didn't you talk about something else?
Then she's not on medication.
Thank you.
Enid Goldstein, noon till 3, exclusively on AM 1150 KNIC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNIC.
Her rationale is that it's never been done before. Well, I can tell you September 11th was a rare occurrence in American history, too. If we can find through her testimony or the testimony of President Clinton or President Bush or Secretary Rumsfeld a way to make America safer, then we ought to do it. There are too many unanswered questions that have come up with Richard Clark and others who brought them up publicly. I think Condoleezza Rice owes it to the American people, and particularly the survivors of those who perished on 9/11, to give the best answer she can to the questions by the commission.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:27 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about Condoleezza Rice's performance last night, and that is really what it was, on 60 Minutes. Now, Dorothy just called, and she said, get your facts straight, Enid. She said, Condoleezza Rice really, really, really wants to testify, and the president really, really, really wants her to testify. But those lawyers, they won't let her testify. And I said, well, Dorothy, who is the president of the United States? Is it George W. Dickey Bush? Well, I didn't say that exactly, but he is the president. And believe me, if the administration wanted Condoleezza Rice to testify, she would testify. She doesn't want to, and I think there's too much spinning. And I think if she opens her mouth in front of any of these commissions, even if she doesn't have to testify under oath, she risks the possibility of spinning so out of control that they could conceivably haul her off to the pokey for lying. I really think that that's one of the issues. And I think that perhaps even a greater issue is they don't want to reveal how little they really did and how unseriously they took Al-Qaeda and the threat of Al-Qaeda. And I want to say something else, too, that nobody else is talking about. Everybody's saying, well, you know, Bill Clinton didn't do anything either. He did something. But the difference between the Bill Clinton administration and the Bush administration is this. In the Bush administration, you had 9/11, and even after 9/11, with something that horrific going on, you would think that they would have jumped on board the anti-terrorism, anti-Al-Qaeda bandwagon, and they didn't do it. They were even slow to do it after 9/11, instead directing themselves into what has become an irrelevant situation and an extremely costly one in terms both of lives and in terms of what it's costing, and that's the war in Iraq. Sure, they went into Afghanistan for 5 minutes, and then it's being reported over the weekend. They took major special ops people who had spent quite a bit of time in Afghanistan making friends with the warlords and the natives, people who could speak Arabic, special forces people, an elite unit who could speak Arabic, Pashto, Dari, the languages of Afghanistan, and then with no notice, after these people had spent months ingratiating themselves, making contacts, gathering intelligence, they shipped them all over to Iraq, leaving in the hands of extremely inexperienced people who could not speak the local languages, who had no associations with the locals there, some other people taking over for that elite special forces group. They missed a huge opportunity in Afghanistan because they shifted everybody over to Iraq. We are not safer. But again, you cannot compare the Clinton and the Bush situations because Clinton was operating prior 9/11, Bush post 9/11. 303-382-1150. But anybody who saw 60 Minutes, how do you think Condoleezza Rice did? Kevin, calling from Denver. How are you live with Enid?
Hey, I'm sorry that you caught me off guard just when you said anybody who saw 60 Minutes, because I did miss that. But I did see Richard Clark on Meet the Press yesterday, and I did see the story in the paper today in the Post about Condoleezza and how initially when Richard Clark said the day after 9/11, he was told by Bush in no uncertain terms to find a connection between Iraq and the attacks, and they denied that conversation ever took place. But then apparently last night in 60 Minutes, she said, oh, yeah, well, the conversation took place, but we were just, you know, doing the logical thing.
Well, I think what's really interesting, here's why they had to do a 180 here. They denied that that conversation took place, and when Leslie Stahl was interviewing Richard Clark the week before on 60 Minutes, Clark made the allegation that the conversation took place. Then they showed a White House, reported that the White House denied that that conversation ever took place. And then Leslie Stahl inserted this comment. She said, we have independently corroborated. There were two people we talked to who witnessed that conversation taking place. CBS had independently corroborated that the conversation occurred. And now more people have come forward to say that that conversation occurred. So the White House has been forced to switch gears.
Well, that's absolutely right, and I think it's just the tip of the iceberg. If Condoleezza gets out there in front of that panel in public, she's going to be broken apart.
Are you saying that she should change her name from Condoleezza to Condoleezza?
Well, that's how you pronounce it, isn't it? Condoleezza?
Well, Condi is lying sometimes,
another,
I think.
Another thing I wanted to comment on, I heard that guy, Jimmy Lackey, that's how you pronounce that, right? Lackey? I heard him this morning, and he was going on and on about how Richard Clark may have perjured himself and how they're afraid to reveal the transcripts from his earlier testimony. And I don't know if he was paying attention, but Richard Clark clearly stated on his Meet the Press interview he wants anything he's ever had any contact with in his time to be declassified.
That's right. He has said that. And by the way, it's Jimmy Lackey, and he's on from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. And if you have a beef...
I thought it was Jimmy Lackey, because he's a lackey for the Bush.
Well, if you have a beef with Jimmy, Kevin, call him up and take it up with him directly.
No, I won't listen to his show, because then if they ever asked me if I was listening to that show at that time, I'd have to honestly say yes.
Well, you heard it. You must have heard it this morning.
I contribute. That was just, you know, for about 30 seconds.
All right. Well, I like Condoleezza. That's pretty good. I thank you for the call, Kevin.
And here's another one for you. Doug, smell it, because you can smell it from here.
Kevin, now you could.
Bye.
Bye. 303-382-1150. The damning testimony. I want you to put your intuition, you know, your intuition cap on, look in the tea leaves, look in the crystal ball. I think this Richard Clark thing is going to really have an impact. Now, we are a country of short memories, maybe even short mammaries, too. That's why Brady's having such implants. And I'm wondering whether you think the Richard... Oh, and guess who else is coming out with a book? Joseph Wilson, the ambassador whose wife was outed. Apparently, he is coming out with a blockbuster book as we get closer to the election. He's apparently going to pull no punches. We'll see. But if enough people now feel, it's like the CU rape scandals, allegations of rape. One person gingerly tiptoes in and then a second person, and then suddenly everybody who didn't have the courage to come forward or felt that if they did come forward they wouldn't be believed, suddenly everybody steps up to the plate and announces what they think was, you know, make the allegations. And I think maybe some other people are going to come out of the woodwork on the Bush administration. But remember this. There are so many states now in play, so many states now that are swing states, and so many states going to e-voting. Let me caution you again on the e-voting situation. Even if the Democrats have a really good chance of beating this crew in the White House, the present regime, the two dicks that are running the White House, you have e-voting to contend with, where both Johns Hopkins University and the state of Maryland have done studies and have found extremely troubling results. Their investigations revealed that you can go in and hack the software and rejigger the tallies with e-voting and never leave any footprints at all. And the heads of some of these e-voting companies, like Diebold, have come out very strongly in favor of the re-election of Bush. 303-382-1150. But if you're a big supporter of Bush, if you're a big supporter of the White House, what do you think about what Condoleezza Rice did on 60 Minutes, number one? Number two, do you think that Richard Clark's testimony before the 9/11 Commission, the fact that his book is flying off the bookshelves, the fact that he seems to have hit a nerve and the White House is going after him ferociously, how much impact do you think that will have, or do we have really such short memories that by the time the election rolls around, it will have been forgotten? Anita, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Anita?
Oh, here I am. I'm sorry. I thought it would take longer. I'm very fortunate.
Welcome to the show.
Well, I thought Clark sounded very believable. And I wanted to tell you that man that called was Jimmy Latsky. Was that what he called him? I call him Jimmy Flaky. Oh. I tell you, it's can a commentator from the radio station be sued?
I don't think so. Why?
I don't, because he went on a tirade about 2 days ago about Clark. I couldn't believe it. He called him every name in the book.
Well, you got to call him up and hold his feet to the fire if you disagree with him. I can't defend. I didn't hear it. I can't.
No, you didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it. I can't discuss it. And I refer all calls to Jimmy or to Doug if you disagree with them.
I know you do, and I love your show.
Thank you, Anita.
Keep up the good work. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. 303-382. I feel like I'm 911, and the paramedics are standing by to give listeners oxygen. Steve, on a cell, are you live with Enid?
Hi, Enid. How do you reconcile the difference between what Clark said in the 9/11 Commission versus what he said in 2002 in a press interview? In 2002,
where he was giving a backgrounder?
Oh no, this was a press interview.
Yeah, he was giving a backgrounder.
Okay, but either he lied or he didn't lie. In 2002, he said that there was no plan passed on by Clinton to the Bush administration. And
that's not true. That's not true. We've heard from Sandy Berger and many other people that they were very adamant about passing on the information, and that has been revealed in multiple sources. What's the other point?
What I'm saying is that he lied. He said there was no plan in 2002.
Steve, I'm gonna say something to you again. Forget what he said in a press briefing where it was his job and he was on background and so never should have been named. The White House leaked that information, and his job was to spin on behalf of the administration, and so he was doing his job. I'm not condoning it, but that's what he did. When he testified in front of the 9/11 Commission, as far as I know, he was testifying under oath. But don't talk about whether he's discredited, what his motives are. He said one thing yesterday, and he's saying another thing today. He is the go-to guy on counterterrorism, and you have to discuss the allegations that he has made, the substance of them. Don't try to discredit him. Discuss the substance of the allegations that he has made. That really is the only thing that's worth considering here.
Well, either he lied in 2002 or he lied during the commission.
He didn't lie during the commission because he was testifying under oath. So I think he was probably spinning in 2002. But again, you can't get off your broken record because you've been listening to those conservative talk hosts. The broken record is that you're trying to discredit him. Look at the allegations and see what the administration can say about those allegations. Those allegations, they are not really dealing with the substance of his allegations, and I think that tells us something right there. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC. 12:39, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 61 degrees. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Verizon Wireless, and trying to clean up an accident, Yale and Monaco, another one, Tower and Smoky Hill. Of course, southbound 225 to I-25 is still a little bit slow. Now use your Verizon Wireless to download Alejandro Sanz's pictures and ringtones from his latest album, No Es Lo Mismo. To get Verizon Wireless service, call 1-800-256-4646. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
Denver police have arrested a 19-year-old woman on suspicion of murder in the stabbing of a cab driver early this morning. Police haven't yet determined a motive for the stabbing, which happened just before 3 this morning. The victim, whose name is being withheld, was rushed to Denver Health, where he died a short time later. This report brought to you by Key Bank. The autopsy of 30-year-old Heather DeWild has been released, but still leaves a number of questions unanswered. The woman disappeared after dropping her kids off with her estranged husband last July. Her body was found in a shallow grave in Clear Creek Canyon 2 months later. Some details of the autopsy have remained sealed, pending an arrest in the woman's death. The man who founded Colorado Free University was stabbed to death early yesterday. John Hand's landlord called police after hearing Hand yelling that someone was trying to kill him. Police are still investigating that murder. Key Bank, want more for your money? Key offers free checking with interest. Open your account at a Key Center today or call 1-888-KEY-1234 for more information. The solution is Key. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1240.
Want to hit the fan while you are hitting the sack?
The worst is yet to come.
Find out mornings with Dick Kelsey during the Jenny Lakey Show, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Join the Colorado Symphony and the Colorado Children's Chorale for a performance of Mendelssohn's A Midsummer Night's Dream and Schumann's Symphony No. 1, Spring, on April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Tickets available at all King Super's Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're looking pretty good for the next several days as high pressure brings around sunnier skies and some much warmer air begins to work its way in. It'll be quite pleasant, actually. We'll top out around 65 for our high today, mainly clear tonight with a low of 33. Sunny and in the mid-60s on Tuesday, sunshine low 70s on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 61 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1242. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Shopping for a mortgage should be no different from shopping for any big-ticket item, a car, a refrigerator, a house. You're looking for the best possible value available. Investment Property Funding Incorporated offers just that. The best mortgage rates available, starting at 1.25% for primary residences and just 1.65% for investment properties, with no points, no junk fees, and no surprises at closing. Increase your cash flow by hundreds, if not thousands of dollars per month. Investment Property Funding can handle all your mortgage needs with your choice of fixed rate, adjustable rate, or interest-only programs. They have a full menu of options for savvy, no-nonsense borrowers like you. Don't wait. Get the rates you deserve today by calling the professionals at Investment Property Funding Incorporated at 303-531-8508. That's 303-531-8508. Your mortgage experts, 303-531-8508, or online at ipfunding.com.
With the resources at NBC, CNN, News 4, and AP, along with local reporters on the ground.
I need it. It's there.
Stay in touch with what's happening in Denver and the Front Range with Dick Kelsey mornings and Tim McLaughlin afternoons, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
You know, if Condoleezza Rice can find time to do 60 minutes on television before the American people, she ought to find 60 minutes to speak to the commission under oath.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:44 on the Monday edition of Eden Live. That was John Kerry. What a great line, don't you think? She's been everywhere, like Richard Benvenisti says. He says she's been appearing everywhere but my local Starbucks. She, you know what? Dorothy called, and Dorothy let me have it. She said, I don't have my facts straight, but I'm going to tell you something. If Condoleezza Rice really, really, really wanted to testify in front of the 9/11 Commission, if the administration really, really, really wanted her to do it, she would be there. They don't want her to do it. They're hiding behind the attorneys because... whether they grant her, whether she's testifying under oath or she isn't, to lie to that commission, I believe, could be grounds to for criminal investigation or perjury. She'd be hauled off to the pokey, something along those lines. 303-322-1150. And I don't think they want to reveal the degree of their incompetence. I think Richard Clark was probably on the money. What is the opposite of love, boys and girls and buckaroos? It's not hate. It is indifference. And if the White House did not feel like they really hit a nerve with this one, they wouldn't be coming back as ferociously. If they knew that they were telling the truth, believe me, they'd be able to trot out all kinds of stuff. They'd be able to make mincemeat out of Richard Clark. That they are responding so ferociously tells us, I think, that he probably hit the nail right on the head. That would be my guess. Dave, calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well.
All right. Everybody's talking about Condi Rice's interview, but yesterday's Meet the Press with Russert and Clark was just damaging beyond belief. I mean, the guy was concise, clear, nothing fazed him. Everything he talked about implies these guys are either complicit or they're guilty of just ignoring the whole thing. I mean, even by the time he was done, you compare Clinton's administration to Bush's. Clinton only had 35 deaths, and he stopped. They stopped several incidents that were going to happen. They're basically keeping probably these guys at bay. And here comes along the Bush team in January. They get told what to do, and they ignore it all the way till what, August, September? So.
Well, and even the reports that are telling us that major intelligence reports were talking about increased activity, that something was going to happen. They knew something was going to happen, and there was a possibility that it could happen here. And it did happen here.
Yeah, and all the warnings that they tried to do were left unheeded. Finally, about a week before, or so they agreed to look at it. They didn't. He said, Clark said there was 100 meetings on everything but terrorism. In those 225 days, they only had one meeting on terrorism.
Well, I think also what is damning to this administration is Clark, a very important person on this subject, coming right out, straight out, mincing no words, and saying that fighting the war in Iraq has made us more vulnerable, that it has not made us safer.
Right. And then the previous caller mentioned, well, why did he give two reports? He explained that in the Meet the Press interview. He says, hey, I was with the administration then. They didn't tell me to lie. They just kind of implied that I should give a nice little favorable report. That's basically what he said. He says, I'm no longer in the administration now, so I can say what I want.
Well, his job was to spin it. I'm not condoning. He's a longtime civil servant. He's known as a man who can be arrogant. He's known as a man who's got sharp elbows. And the reason that everybody kept him on every single administration, he was known as somebody who could make his points and knew how to get the job done. He knew how to nudge the bureaucracy and get things done. That's why he lasted under Reagan. That's why he lasted under Bush the First. That's why he lasted under the Clintons wanted him. He was considered a pain in the ass, but a very effective one. So they kept him on board. And that's why Bush too, Jr., kept him on board. He really was the go-to guy on this whole issue.
Well, yeah, now the spinmeister's in control saying, oh, he was demoted. He wasn't demoted. He requested the cyber terror.
He's saying that he requested it. But and you can imagine that if you were somebody who believed very passionately and were somewhat prescient that the administration was overlooking the right plan of action and was going to some irrelevant course of action, and you begged them and you tried and you made forceful presentation and mostly they shut you out, eventually you would ask for some sort of a transfer. So I imagine that there's some sort of a disgruntlement, but he's going to be laughing all the way to the bank. He's making a fortune. That book is flying off the shelves.
Well, I get more from him. I don't believe he's so worried about making the money. I think his conscience and what he saw happen is really, in a way, almost forced him to come forward. I mean, he saw what's happening, and he knows what they're telling us, and he wants to tell other, you know, his side.
Dave, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. So here is, I want to know if you saw 60 Minutes. Did you think that Condi Rice really sold it for the administration, or has she just gotten in deeper? I think neutral. I don't think she did particularly well, but I don't think she dug herself into a hole other than it. She, there's just more spinning going on, and she still won't answer, and she's trying to make it sound like she's really sincere and she really would like to answer this thing. But, you know, she can't. They won't let her. So instead, she'll go on 60 Minutes. And John Kerry is right. He said she's got time for 60 Minutes. How come she doesn't have 60 Minutes for the 9/11 Commission? The damning testimony of former terrorism advisor Richard Clark, and this is the English papers reporting this, The Guardian in the United Kingdom, has left the president's team in disarray as their approval ratings begin to fall. Pollsters put Democratic challenger John Kerry 3 points ahead of Bush, 47 points to 44 points, the dramatically reversed four-point Bush lead just a week ago. The pollsters put the change down to fallout from Clark's claims. At the same time, respected firm Zogby logged Bush's approval ratings as slipping to an all-time low of 46%. So this is the testimony that... This is the damage that the Dick Clark testimony has really wrecked on the Bush administration, also compounded by the Bush administration shooting itself in the foot. The jokes that Bush cracked at that Washington Correspondents' Dinner, mocking his own inability to find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, Bush's laughing face was then plastered on the front page of the New York Daily News, which is a conservative publication, under the headline, WMD Joke Flap. But the key to all of it was Clark, terrorism advisor to four presidents. He played himself as the conscience-stricken whistleblower. Condoleezza Rice suffered particularly badly in the Guardian's estimation, as Clark claimed she had stymied his efforts to raise the importance of fighting terrorism. Remember, they were interested in the Cold War. They're your father's Oldsmobile. She's a Russian specialist. That's what they were looking at, the Cold War. Terrorism was like, hey, that's real cyber, and they're not into that. Worst to come, in a few months, former diplomat Joseph Wilson, whose wife was outed by a vengeful Bush administration, because Joseph Wilson outed the Bushies, saying that the claims that Iraq was trying to buy enriched uranium in Africa were complete forgeries, crude forgeries at that. Worst to come, in a few months, former diplomat Joseph Wilson will publish his book, an account of the build-up to the war in Iraq, called The Politics of Truth. Wilson last summer accused the White House of ignoring evidence in its efforts to show Iraq had WMD. The White House responded by leaking the identity of Wilson's wife, an undercover CIA operative. Stay tuned. More to come. I think more people are going to be coming out of the woodwork. Or the Woodward is a case of Bob Woodward, because even he has bolstered the case against the Bushes, and he couldn't be more of a brown-noser. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
When you need to know
information,
you never have to wait.
Now.
Talk and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Information now.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC.
A woman charged her taxes in April, but didn't pay the bill until May. She used her credit card, buying herself some extra time to pay. You can do that now. All it took was a convenience fee and a toll-free call. It's fast, secure, and authorized by the IRS. And it's as easy as calling Official Payments Corporation at 1-800-2-PAY-TAX or visiting us online at officialpayments.com. Official Payments accepts Visa, American Express, and Discover payment cards.
Get express front disc brake service at Pep Boys for just $49.99 after mail-in rebate. Or get a $25 Pep Boys gift card with our best quiet stop brake service. See store for details. Pep Boys. Parts, service, and so much more.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Join the Cottonwood Connection at its fundraiser on Friday, April 23rd from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the REI Flagship Store. The event features an authentic Nepalese dinner and a presentation by Magda King. King, the first woman from Spain to climb a 26,000-foot peak, will share inspiring stories about her climbing expeditions on the world's highest mountains and her passion of building schools in third-world countries. Tickets are $45. For information, call 303-424-2300.
AM 1150 KNRC and Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits would like to send you and a guest to the Vail Film Festival April 1st through 4th. You'll enjoy the festival's opening night, VIP party Mid-Mountain at Eagle's Nest, the premiere of Before Sunset with Ethan Hawke, three-day adult lift tickets, and much more, along with lodging at the Inn at Riverwalk in Edwards for three nights. All you have to do is register to win at Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, located on the corner of 12th and Broadway, or call 303-893-8437 for more information.
He's looking out for you.
Listen.
Bill O'Reilly, weekdays at 10 a.m., exclusively with the Radio Factor on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
I would really like to do that, but there's an important principle involved here. It is a long-standing principle that sitting national security advisors do not testify before the Congress.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
12:55 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. Are you believing what she's saying? Do you believe anything that she says? Does she know what she's talking about? I think she's kind of mediocre. What she's really been brilliant at is building herself a career on such little, on such thin substance. Just like the rest of the administration, what they've been really brilliant at is spinning it so that they sound like they're actually competent. But this is a group of people who had blinders on. They are your father's Oldsmobile. They were trying to fight a war on the cheap. They've been incompetent in just about every aspect of what we have asked them to do as leaders, what you're supposed to do if you're a competent president, including, not limited to, or including sending us off into an irrelevant direction that has so far drained us of more than $100 billion. We're in Iraq right now, and it keeps us more vulnerable. And Dick Clark is the first person who has had the balls to say that publicly, and he is absolutely suffering no fools gladly on this one, and the White House is furious, and their anger is getting the best of them, and this is so much fun to watch, except the consequences are very serious. We're watching our country kind of spin out of control. 303-382-1150, Hayward in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, yes, this is Hayward.
Hi, Hayward. Is this your first time calling?
Yes, it is.
Oh, well, wait a minute. We have something for you.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, that was nice. I don't know how my wife will feel about that, but thank you.
Well, don't tell her.
Well, I don't know. She's probably listening. But I'm calling in regards to a very serious thing about Richard Clark. And, you know, he was in the administration, been in a lot of administrations, and doing an admirable job. He was a very professional person. And you know, when he got out of politics and this all this stuff came along and it just got so bad, you know, that he just had to speak out as an American, as a citizen. He had to speak out and put a stop to this Bush administration crap.
Well, I think that's true, and I think he left his job because I don't think he could stand it anymore.
No, he couldn't, but he thought it might get better. You know, it's a lot of times things do get better, but this administration is just getting worse and worse and worse.
Well, I hope people see it, and more states are swing states now. We'll see what happens in the election if we can get an honest tally on this e-voting. Hayward, I thank you for the call. Call us again. 303-382-1150. Elsie in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Oh, hi. Well, I have to say that the summer before 9/11, I remember listening to what seemed to me George's big order of business, which was passing that writing. He didn't have to pass anything, writing that executive order that guaranteed secrecy to himself, all his people that he talks to, his father and his father before him. Oh, wait a minute. No, I mean in perpetuity also.
You know, here's what I'm glad you. I'm. Thank you for bringing that up, Elsie, and I'm glad that you have, because let me just tell you this: you have got an administration that has put a shroud of secrecy over everything, not only the makeup of the people who advised Dick Cheney on energy policy, but even the most innocuous stuff, like the stuff that we pay for, data collection on tires, for example, consumer information that we as taxpayers pay for. All of that has now been shrouded in secrecy. And this is an administration that wants to know everything about you, that wants to violate every shred of privacy that remains, and not much of it does. They want access to every jot and tittle in your life. If you fart, they want to know about it. It goes on that big database that exists somewhere. Don't ask me where. And it turns out that they don't want to reveal anything. Everything in this administration undertakes is done with the maximum amount of secrecy that they can get away with. And the fact that we are not demanding clarity, transparency, the fact that we are willing to lay back and let them conduct their business in secrecy, I think does not speak well for us either. I think you have to be vigilant. I think we are so used to having decent people in charge, people that you can sort of trust. You might disagree with them, you know, but it's within certain boundaries and pretty much they do the job. This group is not competent. They have been a failure at everything. These are people who have not succeeded in certain ways in their lives, but they have been spun as being very, you know, titans of industry and be highly successful, when in fact that's not exactly the way it has been. And they are taking us down with them, and they are taking the country down. And you can't let them do this. You've got to get out there and get people registered, volunteer, and listen to Enid. Two more hours coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Lester Holt. Democratic presidential contender John Kerry is calling on President Bush's national security advisor to testify under oath before the panel looking into the 9/11 attacks.
Condoleezza Rice can find time to do 60 minutes on television before the American people. She ought to find 60 minutes to speak to the commission under oath.
But Rice tells CBS's 60 Minutes doing that would set a bad precedent for future national security advisors. She's offering to hold another private meeting with panel members, but not under oath. The judge in the trial of former Tyco CEO Dennis Kozlowski and a colleague has decided not to declare a mistrial for the moment. Jurors say they're deadlocked, but the judge wants them to keep trying. Prosecutors in Santa Barbara have begun presenting their evidence against Michael Jackson to a grand jury. They're trying to get an indictment against the pop star who's accused of child molestation. Lester Holt, NBC News Radio.
More and more pet owners are discovering PetCare RX, your pet's online drugstore.
I used to buy my dog's arthritis and prescription products from my vet, but then I found PetCare RX online. It's definitely worth trying to get the best price you can.
PetCare RX works with your vet to fulfill all your pet's needs.
I was uneasy about how my vet would react, but he was fine with my buying my pet's medicine from PetCare RX.
Go to PetCareRx.com. That's PetCareRx.com or call 1-866-PetCareRx. That's 1-866-PetCareRx.
And now for a traffic update, we go to Kelly Clark. Kelly, how's it looking out there?
Well, if you've got to get anywhere, I hope you have lots of time.
Uh-oh.
All northbound lanes at the Taylor Interchange are backed up. Westbound lanes are at a standstill, and the off-ramp near the Martin Building remains closed, causing major headaches.
Not good.
But I do have good news.
What's that, Kelly?
I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Good afternoon, 61 degrees under sunny skies. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Time for us to check traffic with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the Denver Post. And looking much better. We did clear an accident southbound I-25 at 58. That had been a major delay. 35th in Quebec, we still got an accident working, and we're putting the finishing touches on an accident in Monaco and Yale. Today's daily deal is a free 16-ounce brewed coffee when you purchase a dozen donuts at Lamar's. Only in today's Denver Post in the weather page. Start your day with the daily deal. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, Denver police are investigating the stabbing death of a cab driver early this morning. Denver Police Detective Teresa Garcia says there isn't much information the cops can release about the victim or the suspect.
At this time, we have not released the name of the victim pending notification akin. It appears that he was the cab driver of the Freedom Cab Company, and we do have one female in custody.
Police arrested 19-year-old Amber Torres in connection with the murder. A dispatcher at Freedom Cab Company says the victim was a longtime and valued employee. This report brought to you by Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. The autopsy of Heather DeWild has been released, but still leaves many unanswered questions. The autopsy showed that the 30-year-old mother of two was not shot, but can't determine whether she was strangled. The report also showed that her skull was cracked after she died, but it's unclear if that was caused by the killer or the front end loader that uncovered her body when it was found in Clear Creek Canyon last September. DeWild disappeared in July after dropping her children off with her estranged husband. So far, there have been no arrests in the case, and sections of the autopsy will remain sealed until someone is arrested or charged. This is Cesar Chavez Day in Colorado. In Denver, it means all city offices are closed, parking meters are free, and trash service is delayed by a day. To Felisa Garcia, the co-chair of the Cesar Chavez Peace and Justice Committee, it means a whole lot more.
He should be remembered because he was a great man who did a lot for this country,
and we should remember him and teach our children about him. And it's very important that we just not forget what he did for us.
Chavez championed the causes for migrant workers. However, much of the work that he did was back in the 60s, and Garcia says, unfortunately, many people in the Anglo and Chicano communities don't know who he is. A mobile home in East Greeley is most likely a total loss following a fire at about 8:30 this morning. 19 firefighters from Union Colony Fire Rescue of Greeley responded to the blaze in a mobile home park. Fortunately, there were no injuries to civilians or firefighters. The cause of that blaze still under investigation. In sports, the LA Kings come to town tonight to play the struggling Colorado Avalanche. Avs are winless in their last six games. Avs and Kings tied at 3 each when they last played in January. Avs are coming off their 2-0 loss to the Red Wings in Detroit on Saturday. Spring training continues this week for the Colorado Rockies. This afternoon, they're taking on the San Francisco Giants. Today's game just getting underway. When you buy a home with Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage, stress won't be a closing cost. To experience stress-free house hunting for yourself, visit ColoradoHomes.com. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Mother Nature. Spring cleaning. She does it according to her own schedule. Let her do her thing while we do ours. Be prepared this spring and summer with the most up-to-date weather watches and warnings exclusively on AM 1150. Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
I was blown away at the ease and the simplicity of this product.
Windy Light for the doctor's Night Guard Dental Protector.
The fact that the instructions were so well written and that the Night Guard is so well made. Within 10 minutes, I had a Night Guard that fitted perfectly to my teeth. It was like a dream to me.
Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's Night Guard in the oral care section.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're looking pretty good for the next several days as high pressure brings around sunnier skies and some much warmer air begins to work its way in. It'll be quite pleasant, actually. We'll top out around 65 for our high today, mainly clear tonight with a low of 33. Sunny and in the mid-60s on Tuesday, sunshine low 70s on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Under mostly sunny skies, it's 61 degrees. KNRC News Time is 106. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock. And in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by David Shipler. He's written about The Invisible Poor. He's won a Pulitzer Prize. The book was on the bestseller list, and we're going to be giving away tickets to Tommy Franks. The lecture is at Betcher Hall tomorrow night, and you have to be able to pick up the tickets here sometime between now and tomorrow night. We're giving away two pairs of tickets. The value is $66 per pair. Let's do it right now. Let's give away a pair of tickets right now, and it's tomorrow night. You have to be able to go, 7 p.m., Betcher Concert Hall, 1245 Champa, so it's, you know, it's in the Performing Arts Complex. And it's retired General Tommy Franks. The tickets are worth $66. You have to be able to pick them up at the station, and the station's located at 18th and Lawrence, and I want you to be the sixth caller. So, gentlemen, start your engines. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. If you are the sixth caller, you will win a pair of tickets worth $66. And then we have one more pair of tickets to give away, and we'll do it sometime in the broadcast. But be the sixth caller, and you will win a pair of tickets, $66, to hear the charmless general, retired general Tommy Franks at Betcher Concert Hall tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. And I think we've got a winner. Okay, congratulations, and we'll have the person's name. And later in the week, we're going to be joined by Margaret Atwood, the distinguished novelist. She'll be in studio with us on Friday. She doesn't know I wrote a negative review of one of her books once, and I don't know if I'm going to have the nerve to tell her. Thursday, David K. Johnston, a New York Times writer, perfectly legal, the covert campaign to rig our tax system to benefit the super rich and cheat everyone else. He's going to be joining us, and that book is on the bestseller list. Wednesday, Sophie Kinsella, bestselling author of the Shopaholic series. She's English. She's got a new book called Can You Keep a Secret? She's going to be a tattered cover. We're going to be talking to her. This is sort of the dimensions of our interests around here. I have a lot of different interests, and it's not simply political. It's lifestyle. It's a lot of different things. Cultural as well, so we try to cover all the bases here. And for those of you who are disagreeing with both Doug Kellett and Jimmy Lakey, I often do not agree with them at all. You call them and you tell them why you don't agree with them. They are my colleagues. I think some of them are on medications that must not even yet exist with a real name, but I'm sure they feel the same way about me. But that is the name of the game here. I'm sure they would welcome the debate. So if you are disagreeing with what they have to say, give them a call, and you can always do that. And by the same token, those of you who are big agreeers with Lakey and Kellett, call me here, and we can disagree as well. 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. You might actually affect the dialogue and the conversation. It might get the ball rolling. You will be heard. However much we may disagree, we may cuff each other around. It is a forum for you to be heard and to express yourself. And you never know. A thought can get a take on an idea, a new way of looking at something really can have an impact. And even though Gandhi said no matter what you do is ultimately insignificant, it is very important that you do it. And I think we have to get the idea going here. We are so lucky. We've been used to a level of passivity in this country where we were rich. It wasn't like the Depression, post-war, a big, rich country, like a shambling, awkward adolescent that made itself look ridiculous in the old line countries of Europe, but was a huge engine, an economic engine, and the possibilities for us in this country were so immense. And now we have come to a grinding halt, and now we have a kind of leadership that we can't just be passive about and simply believe we can trust. This is our country. I think we have to take it back from these people. At the very least, you have to inform yourself, read a newspaper, listen to talk radio, watch a newscast. But I have to tell you, the newscast is like a headline service. That's all it is. If you really want to know what's going on, go online and see what's going on. Read a newspaper. Listen to Enid Live. I read a million newspapers. So if you don't want to, you don't have to. And I try to digest the information. But the fact that I read a million newspapers, I won't go, be like Rush here, that you don't have to read anything. I'm doing the hard work here. But so should you. Don't just leave it in somebody else's hands. Inform yourself. That's your admission price to living in this wonderful country. And if you don't like what's going down, don't just believe the spin. I mean, this is Maytag. This White House is Maytag land. Winner, Gary from Evergreen. Congratulations. You won a pair of tickets to Tommy Frank's lecture tomorrow night. I'd like to hear, report back, anybody who goes to the lecture. I want to hear whether you thought it was useful or not. And I have one more pair of tickets that I'll be giving away somewhere in the show. I got this email from Eric. Eric says, Condi Rice has stated that she will leave after Bush's, Eric says, only term. He says, I could be wrong, Enid, but I think you're incorrect in saying the White House vetted the book. I believe that the NSC vetted the book, not the White House. If so, one theory is that the career civil service employees vetted the book and did not notify the White House nor the NSA because there are people who are tired of being targeted by this White House. I don't know which branch of government vetted the book, but one branch did, so it shouldn't come as a huge surprise that the book is as powerful as it is. Okay, if you're on death row, if you are about to be lethally executed, we give you a last supper. And the list of people, what people wanted for their last suppers is amazing. Carla Faye Tucker, I think she wanted like a little yogurt and a banana. You know, she was still going to watch her health no matter what. Other people like a lot of surf and turf. A lot of people like a lot of tacos. Well, the state of Florida, has a price limit on last suppers. You can have anything you want as long as it's not more than 1995. But the truth of it is even worse. Here's a guy who was in prison, and he was in charge of preparing the last suppers. And it turns out that in the state of Texas, in any event, if they don't have the ingredients in the cupboard there for your last supper, you can forget about it because you're not going to get it. One guy wanted 20 tacos, and they busted him down to only 4 for his last supper. One guy wanted a filet mignon, but they gave him a hamburger instead. It's like, what difference does it make? I mean, this is So is there truth anywhere? You think you're going to get your real last supper. Here was a guy, he wanted lobster tail for his last meal. You know what he got? He got a filet of processed fish. You know that stuff that they give you at McDonald's? Here what they do. In order to have uniform sandwiches, you know, do you want to know about this? I'm going to tell you. In order to have uniform sandwiches at place at fast food joints, what they do is they take all this fish and they beat it together and they make like big Masonite sheets of this stuff. And then they cut it so that it's all uniform. So I don't know if you're getting a fish or if you're getting Masonite. You might not even be able to know the difference. Oh, here's the one guy I told you. He requested 24 tacos for his last meal, and he only got 4. Now, the guy was preparing them. He really tried. He tried to add more spice. He tried to make a banana pudding from scratch. You know, he tried to do the right thing, but they just give you whatever they've got there. And notice, for the Last Supper, most of these are like surf and turf. There's so little imagination brought to bear on your last meal. Packed with cholesterol, although I suppose at that point it really doesn't matter much, does it? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. In Ireland, this is one of the things I haven't had a chance to talk about because there's been so much going on in Washington, and I want to add to the discussion. Well, before we get to Ireland, first of all, front page of today's Rocky. I thought this was a really wonderful story. Here is a cop who's called in to look at a family. The XL Energy, I guess, called him in because they had shut off. This is interesting. XL Energy shuts off this family because they owed $84, I guess. And the temperature is in single digits. It's like 7 degrees. And he goes there to check it out. Now, if XL was so concerned, why didn't they let it go for a couple more days? What's the big deal in that? But they cut off the energy, and then they send the cops in to be sure everything's okay. Because if people die of extreme cold, well, maybe XL doesn't want to get its hands dirty. I don't know. The cop goes in. He finds this family. He had a flashlight. It helped them pack their bags for an overnight stay with a relative. And then, since it would cost $84 to turn back the utilities on, turn them on, he reached into his own pocket and he paid the $84. And the woman, who's 35 years old, she's trying to get a degree, trying to support her family. She has a job, but she went from temporary to permanent. And anyway, in doing that, the paperwork, they stiffed her one cycle and we're gonna combine two checks into one cycle. But here's an example of living paycheck to paycheck where you don't have the money to cover the energy bill. And when she came back the next day to get more of her stuff, there was the light on. And this officer, I don't know if I'm going to say the name right, S-T-R-E-A-T-E, Streate, I don't know how he pronounces it, but Officer Streate from the Denver Police, Paul is his first name, Denver Police Officer Paul Streate. It was a real active charity. I think that's really nice. And kudos to him. He gets more than $84 worth of free good publicity, and believe me, the Denver Police Department needs it. But that was a very generous thing for him to do. And I think when you do generous things, maybe they don't come back to you from the person that you did something nice for, but somehow they come back to you. And even if they don't, and you never should do it, for something coming back to you. Don't do it to get something in return. Do it because it's the right thing to do. Because if you do it expecting something to come back to you, that's not good. Bad karma. All right. In Ireland, first of all, I see this letter to the editor in today's Rocky. The crime of assault and battery is clearly being committed by smokers who intentionally smoke without any regard to the health and welfare of non-smokers around them. The smoke exhaled in the direction of the non-smoker with the intention of harming them constitutes the crime of assault and battery. Therefore, smoking in public places should be banned in Colorado for medical and legal reasons. And boy, do I ever agree. And you know where they're doing that? In the least likely of all places. They're doing it in Ireland. No smoking in public places, not even in pubs in Ireland. But here in Colorado, where we think the rights of business, small business and a business owner trump your right to good health and our rights not to have to pay inflated medical claims because people have inhaled secondhand smoke or because you smoke. What does a carton of cigarettes cost now? It's some astronomical amount of money. 303-382-1150. I want to see no smoking in bars and restaurants in Colorado, in Denver certainly, but in the whole state of Colorado. It's a medical issue. It's a health issue. And those of you who say to me, well, you know, if I own a bar, I don't want anybody telling me what I should be doing. Well, if you own a bar, can you make a nuclear bomb in your bar? We have some laws about things. Can you have stuff that's toxic in the air? No, you cannot. And smoke is toxic. 303-382-1150. Remember, this is an administration that wants to make you believe that the chips aren't all in and scientific research about whether smoking can harm you, whether global warming is an issue. That they're calling junk science while they're also at the same time pushing for creationism to be taught in the schools. 303-382-1150. Smoking in bars and restaurants? It's hideous. I hate it. I wish they would just say, Colorado, no smoking in public places, period. The whole state. What do you think? Should we be held hostage by those self-destructive people who insist on smoking? You know, if they want to blacken their lungs and cause themselves all kinds of physical grief, it's a free country, you're free to do it. But please, don't take me down with you. And I don't particularly want to pay your medical benefits either. 303-382-1150. I mean, at Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
The name and business is CNBC, and we've got it for you. Listen for hourly updates weekdays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Being able to wake up every morning with Allison is kind of like having a sleepover with your best friend.
I love my husband. We have so much fun. We do everything together.
Imagine having the companionship of a best friend, the passion of true love, and a shared view of the most important things in life, all in one person. That kind of relationship would be something special, wouldn't it? Well, at eHarmony.com, these are exactly the kinds of relationships that result when couples are matched based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It is beyond joy to be able to come home to someone who really loves you.
Being seen and loved by that one person in the world with whom you are meant to be. At eHarmony.com, we don't think that's too much to ask for.
I cannot imagine life without Allison.
That's why if you're looking for your soulmate, check out eHarmony.com and see if it feels comfortable to you. Do it now and get your $40 personality profile free. eHarmony.com, because it shouldn't take a lifetime to find the love of your life.
KNRC invites you to exclusive premieres and fantastic performances at the Vail Film Festival, April 1st through the 4th. Join us for a weekend full of informative workshops, celebrity panel discussions, and event parties along with great skiing in the beautiful Vail Valley. The Vail Film Festival is sure to sell out. Reserve your seats by visiting vailfilmfestival.org. Screening passes start at just $50. The Vail Film Festival is sponsored in part by AM 1150 KNRC.
Talk to Doug Kellett.
I, to be very honest, I have listened to her three times.
Okay.
Can't get past the first 15 minutes of the show. This is the only radio station that I have programmed into my radio at home.
Bless you, Robin.
I have found this station. This is home, and I thoroughly enjoy this station.
Well, I tell you what, if there's only one show you don't like, we're doing all right, Robin.
You are.
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Mike Huckman, CNBC Business Radio. The markets are higher in the final hour of trading thanks in part to strong profit estimates. The Dow is up 111, the NASDAQ up 28. Jurors in the Tyco trial are still deliberating at this hour after the judge refused to declare a mistrial. The defense said one juror has been pressured by intense media coverage, but the judge spoke with the juror and determined she's able to continue deliberating. Tyson Foods says it's being investigated by the SEC. The world's largest meat producer says it's fully cooperating with the probe, which is focused on compensation and perks given to top executives. If you're going to be buying an Xbox, today you'll pay $30 less. Microsoft is hoping the price cut will help improve sales of the game machine. And a new channel may soon be coming to your cable system. Our partners at the Wall Street Journal report Viacom is exploring the possibility of launching a TV network with programming aimed primarily at gays and lesbians. I'm Mike Huckman, CNBC Business Radio.
One of the best-kept secrets in beauty and fashion is the Walgreens fragrance counter. You'll find designer department store fragrances like White Diamond, Celine, Dracar, and Cool Water, all for less than department store's everyday prices. Many fragrances have testers so you can try a new fragrance before you buy. Just ask your Walgreens beauty advisor. Why deal with long lines and the hassle of mall parking when Walgreens has over 4,300 stores, many open 24 hours? Walgreens, why go anywhere else?
Why is buying a home so complicated? Where do I find an inspector? How do they get the house key out of that box hanging on the doorknob? I mean, do you need a key to get the key?
Coldwell Banker received the J.D. Power & Associates Award for the highest overall satisfaction for first-time homebuyers among national full-service real estate firms. So let us help you. Coldwell Banker. Visit coldwellbanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated except offices owned and operated by NRT Incorporated. For J.D. Power & Associates Award information, visit jdpower.com.
We're in touch, so you be in touch. Call us with your news tips, traffic info, and when the weather's bad, 303-382-1150. Help out your neighbors by letting us know the situation in your area. We're the only locally owned Denver radio station, and we are concerned about Denver, the mountains, and the Front Range. AM 1150, KNRC.
Line up with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
125 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. In the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to David Shipler, who has written a book called The American Poor, Invisible in America. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter. He used to work for the New York Times. And The Invisible Poor in America, I want to hear what he has to say. That book has been on the bestseller list. We're also going to be talking this week to Margaret Atwood in studio, the famous novelist, and that's on Friday and Thursday. Another New York Times reporter, David K. Johnston. His book is also on the bestseller list, Perfectly Legal, The Covert Campaign to Rig Our Tax System to Benefit the Super Rich and Cheat Everyone Else. Wednesday, Sophie Kinsella, she's English, best-selling author of the Shopaholic series. God bless shopaholism. New book, Can You Keep a Secret? She'll be live with us in studio, and more tickets to Tommy Franks as we continue. Here's what we've been talking about if you are just tuning in. We've been talking about Condoleezza Rice's performance, and that's really what it was on 60 Minutes. And we're talking about whether or not we ought to impose a non-smoking ban in the whole state of Colorado, certainly in Denver. I think we've got to do it. Ireland, of all places, a place where you imagine that you can't go into a pub without lighting up and having a pint, they are going to non-smoking everywhere, especially in pubs. No smoking in Ireland. So why should people who are willing to sabotage their own health sabotage ours as well? And don't give me that little small business argument about, well, you know, it's a bar owner and they're going to lose business. Oh, really? If the law is uniform, in California, they found that all the bar owners were against it. In the state of California, when they went to non-smoking, it turns out that they got more business, not less, because you couldn't go anyplace else. If you were going to want to go to a bar, that's just how it was. And it turned out it induced more people to come into bars when it didn't stink as badly and when your health wasn't as compromised. And in California, it's a state that's very health conscious, as is Colorado, a very fit state. So to say, well, little business owners, they can do whatever they want, and the government shouldn't tell them what to do. Well, you know, these small business owners, you can't make a nuclear bomb in your bar, can you? You're not allowed to put toxic stuff in the air, are you? So why should you allow smoking in there? The people who work there, it's horrible. And the people who come in, it's horrible. For a few people who want to hijack their own health and everybody else's along with them, I think it's a lousy idea. I think we have to start moving toward non-smoking. All right, Condoleezza Rice last night. She said that she would really like to be able to testify. And then she goes on to say that we have yet to find an example of a national security advisor, sitting national security advisor, who has been willing to testify on matters of policy. Apparently that's exactly wrong. She lied about that. She said, look at the two sentences of Rice's flagrantly bogus argument. This is a matter of policy, and we have yet to find an example of a national security advisor, sitting national security advisor, who has been willing to testify in matters of policy. Each word of these two sentences was chosen to fit an unhelpful set of facts. Sandy Berger, in fact, twice testified in the 1990s, one in 1994 in Haiti, and again in 1997 during the Asian Campaign Contribution Hearings. In 1994, though, Berger was Deputy National Security Advisor. Constitutionally, it's not at all clear why a Deputy National Security Advisor should be more obliged to testify before Congress than his boss, but That's the way it is. And then in 1997, when he was NSC director, he was testifying in the course of an investigation into a scandal. So Brzezinski, National Security Advisor Brzezinski, testified before Congress in 1980. So there were, you know, Condoleezza Rice was spinning it. And she's trying to make an excuse why she won't come before the 9/11 commission. But John Kerry's got it right. He says she's got time for 60 minutes, but she doesn't have 60 minutes for the 9/11 commission. New polls show that key states are too close to call. Too close to call in five key states that are likely to determine the outcome. Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, and West Virginia. And this comes after 2 weeks of escalating charge and countercharge between Bush and John Kerry. Now, I want to ask you a question in terms of strategy. John Kerry has been on vacation ski boarding in Idaho during this whole Richard Clark flap. And he has stood away and let them slug it out. He has not been willing to step on the gas. At the same time, he wants to use it. What do you think is a better strategy? You think maybe it's time for him to step on the gas on this one? Or will he let the moment slip away by seeming to be above it all and above the fray? What is the better strategy for Democrats to pursue on this one, on the Dick Clark business? 303-382-1150. I think it's time for Kerry not to pull an Al Gore here and to step on the gas and pound it harder than he's been pounding it. That's what I think. I think he's got to go in there and say the things that he just said because they make great sound bites. Like, Condoleezza Rice has time for 60 minutes, but does she have 60 minutes for the 9/11 commission? That's what he's got to do. The U.S. campaigns, the negative tone of it is taking an early toll on public attitudes toward both men. This is according to pollsters. Has it taken a toll on you? I'm loving this. This is better than going to the theater. I think this is fabulous. I'm loving to see how the White House is going to put its attack dogs on Dick Clark and how he, because he knows how they operate, will come back at them. I want to see how this thing plays out. I want to see spin, counter spin. I think this is great theater, and I think it involves us, and I want to know what you think. But apparently a lot of other people don't like a good fight, and they're getting turned off to the whole campaign. I think this is really energizing. What would you do if you were the campaign director of the John Kerry campaign? Would you tell him to step on the gas here with the Richard Clark allegations, or would you have him be above the fray, cleaner than clean? What would you do? Because I'm afraid if he's above the fray and cleaner than clean, that he will miss an opportunity. Saddam Hussein, how did we get him? He was betrayed by his bodyguard, one of them, a bodyguard that was called the Fat Man. This is according to the BBC, that our troops got a hold of the bodyguard and worked him over pretty good, and he finally turned in Saddam Hussein, and he's not going to get any reward for it either because he turned him in unwillingly. He didn't voluntarily give the information. 303-382-1150. Donna calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid?
Yes, Donna. Hi. Welcome.
Hi. I've listened to your show quite a while, for quite some time, and I really enjoy it.
Thank you. Have you ever called in before?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay.
Two times. I really, and you do so much good. I want you to know. A lot of people believe that, feel that way too.
Thank you.
I think what we should be doing, I think Kerry should focus on the issues. I think Democrats should stick with focusing on the issues and be above some of this because I feel it will take care of itself.
You do? So you think the better strategy is let us know what he wants to accomplish in this administration. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, don't you think it's a major issue that this president, who ran as a strong president on terror, is exposed as really weak on terror?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that should be brought out?
Well, it should some, but not to the extreme. Maybe some, but I think we really need to focus on the issues, and there are plenty of things to be focused on, and I think it's
Or give me an example of an issue that you think we should be focusing on.
By what the Democrats would do, what they stand for.
Well, I agree.
How they would make it different and so much better than what it is.
I agree with you there.
Mm-hmm. And
but I think I think he's also got to look like he's strong on terror, and I think he's got to do a 1-2 punch on the White House.
Okay, maybe some of that would be good too. But more important than all this, I think we all need to get busy and get out the vote and get busy volunteering.
Well, I agree with you there, and I thank you for calling, Donna. I want to say something. I had a conversation with a cousin over the weekend who's older and retired, and he really loved the idea he says on some issues he's conservative and on some issues he's liberal, and it bothers him about, he's a retired physician, so it bothers him about stem cell research, that the administration's not in favor of it. He believes a woman has a right to choose when it comes to abortion rights, reproductive rights, but he's thrilled that he got such a huge tax break, and he says he doesn't know what Kerry stands for. And I said, I think it's irrelevant. He's going to do a better job than Bush, because all these guys say they're going to do one thing, and then when they get in office, they do another thing. Look at Bush. He said, I'm a uniter, not a divider. And the first thing he does when he gets into office is he becomes a divider. He said he was going to do this, and he didn't do that. He said he was going to do A, B, and C. He did none of it. So what, you know, you like to hear it, and maybe it will help you vote, but is there much of a correlation between what they promise they're going to try to achieve and what they actually go after once they are in office? 303-382-1150. Steve in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good.
Well, I just wanted to talk to you about the whether Kerry should start picking on Bush or leave it up to the other members of the Democratic Party that are doing so well. And I think Kerry should kind of distance himself without being obtuse about it. But
why? Why do you think that will work? Because Nana said the same thing.
Well, naturally, I, you know, out front am a Kerry supporter, so I just love to see it when Bush gets put his feet to the fire. But the average voter out there doesn't like negativity. They're turned off by it. They actually react differently right now.
Well, wait a minute. I want to say something about these polls. They say they don't like negativity. They said they couldn't stand watching the O.J. Simpson trial one more second, and you couldn't give them enough. People said, oh, I've had enough. I don't want to. I'm never going to watch it. And if you gave them gavel-to-gavel coverage, they were right there with you. So they say that they don't want negativity. But I think watching a fight is juicy. It's like watching a train wreck.
Well, I think they'll absorb the negative arguments from everybody else that's coming forward and talking about how inept Bush has been on his war on terrorism and all that without Kerry having to get his hands dirty. I mean, more or less,
a lot of people still think that Bush is a very, really strong war on terrorism president.
Yeah, well, if we just blow up the whole world, we won't have any problems with terrorists.
Yeah, really.
But Kerry ought to focus on things positive that the Democrats and his platform can perform, like getting us away from our dependence on oil and energy alternatives and things like that. I mean, there's got to be positive. It can't all be negative. You know, there's creation of new jobs and how to create them, not just that he's going to create
well,
them.
Well, if he can, I thank you, Steve, for the call. If he can create a scenario and he gets us to buy into it about how it can be a really new day and how we can get together and get behind stuff and we can create something brand new, wonderful, bigger and better, then I think that would be a very good thing. Don in Denver, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Don.
Hi, Don Thompson. Somewhere this weekend, I saw where some people, a professional job, broke into some records in California. They want all of Kerry's old records during the Nixon era. I would say it's Republicans that wanted that.
Well, I don't know that story, although I recall seeing something about something, that some records were disappeared somewhere. But who cares? I mean, from the Nixon era, you're talking about 30 years ago. Who cares?
Look, they're digging. They're so damn mean.
Well, if they have to go back that far, that tells us that they don't have all that much. I mean, he's a decorated hero. And the reason it's important to go back into Bush's service is that here's Bush, a military war on terror president, who was a chicken hawk, who got into the National Guard and then couldn't manage to show up. So that, I think, is relevant. It speaks to his character.
Hey, you want me to tell you how death in Vienna turns out?
No, don't tell me that. I'm going to read it. Thank you, Don. 303-382-1150. Oh, that's so mean. Don't tell me how a book turns out. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC. 1:37, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 61 degrees now. Let's check traffic with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report brought to you by Pep Boys, parts, service, and so much more. Really only one problem, eastbound I-70 on the ramp to Federal. Sounds like someone was having a seizure in a car. They pulled over to the side. They're now on the sidewalk. Watch for a medical emergency. Ambulances are heading over there, so watch for that. The rest of the system, though, does look pretty good at this hour. Got 30 minutes to spare. Get an Express Pro Line oil change at Pep Boys for only $11.88. In half an hour or less, or it's free. See store for details. Pep Boys, parts, service, and so much more. I'm Darren Coben with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
The Heather DeWild autopsy has been released, but still leaves many questions unanswered in the death of the 30-year-old woman. DeWild disappeared last July after dropping her kids off with her estranged husband. Her body was found 2 months later in Clear Creek Canyon. This report brought to you by RTD. A driver for Freedom Cab Company was fatally stabbed early this morning. Police have arrested 19-year-old Amber Torres in connection with that killing. The victim's name is being withheld pending family notification. 19 firefighters responded to a mobile home fire at a mobile home park in East Greeley this morning. The mobile home is most likely a total loss in the fire, which began about 8:30. No one was injured in the blaze, which is under investigation. You're older, you're wiser, and yep, you can also be a little richer. Call 303-299-6000 to learn about the RTD half-price senior discount. RTD, drive less, save more. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 1:39.
Looking for an alternative to Rush middays? Hear Enid Goldstein, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Ah, nothing beats a warm Colorado evening relaxing on the patio while something delicious sizzles on the barbecue. Is your patio furniture up to the test? Hi, this is Keith Lair with Lair Fireplace and Patio, inviting you to visit any of Lair's three beautiful metro area showrooms to see Colorado's best selection of quality wrought iron patio furniture from O.W. Lee. For three generations, the Lee family has been handcrafting fine wrought iron furniture that is not only beautiful, but built to last a lifetime. Hand-forged by skilled craftsmen with incredible attention to detail and design, O.W. Lee is quite simply the finest wrought iron furniture on the market today. Family owned and operated since 1954, Lair's is Denver's oldest, most trusted name in wrought iron furniture. Plus, we have the best selection of quality gas barbecue grills in the state. At Holly and Evans in Denver, 81st and Sheridan in Arvada, and just north of Arapahoe on Broadway in Littleton, there's a Lair's near you. For premium wrought iron furniture from O.W. Lee, it's Lair Fireplace and Patio.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. We're looking pretty good for the next several days as high pressure brings around sunnier skies and some much warmer air begins to work its way in. It'll be quite pleasant, actually. We'll top out around 65 for our high today, mainly clear tonight with a low of 33. Sunny and in the mid-60s on Tuesday, sunshine low 70s on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 61 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:41. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
They say talking things out is good for the heart. Well, at the University of Colorado Hospital and the Anschutz Centers for Advanced Medicine, we couldn't agree more. If you have a heart problem and you're at the University of Colorado Hospital, instead of one doctor offering you advice, here an entire team of specialists meet to discuss your case, talk it through, review your options, including the latest, most advanced. It's like getting multiple opinions without even asking. These are the innovators, problem solvers, and they're passionate about their work. Through the years, their groundbreaking discoveries have actually changed the course of heart care worldwide. For an appointment or to schedule a heart exam, call 1-800-621-7621 or visit uch.edu. The University of Colorado Hospital and the Anschutz Centers for Advanced Medicine, far beyond the ordinary.
This is AM 1150 KNRC.
Do not change the channel.
Not your grandfather's talk radio station. We're yours.
We're yours.
The new generation of Denver talk radio can be found here. AM 1150.
AM 1150.
Lock it in. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
But we do feel unanimously as a commission, she should testify in public. We feel it's important to get her case out there. We recognize her arguments having to do with separation of powers. We think in a tragedy of this magnitude that those kind of legal arguments are probably overridden.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:43 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. Newsweek is reporting that the 9/11 Commission is likely to conclude that the attacks could have been prevented by the simple act. This is the 9/11 attacks could have been prevented by the simple act of sharing information. In Phoenix in July 2001, an FBI agent wrote a memo warning that some young Arabs taking flying lessons might be terrorists. Had that warning made it to The government, you know, made it up the chain. Airlines might have begun bolting, cockpit doors, but the commission doesn't want to make government bureaucrats even more risk averse by hounding them. Also, what has come out of the 9/11 commission is that there was no real sharing between the FBI and the CIA. They all had information. If they could have put the pieces together and shared that information, there was a firewall between the two of them. 303-382-1150. We've been talking about smoking. We've been talking about Condoleezza Rice's appearance on 60 Minutes. We've been talking about what John Kerry's strategy ought to be in order to win. Does he need to be above the fray, or should he start slugging and nailing Bush and this administration on being weak on terrorism, not strong on terrorism? Or should he let other people do the slugging for him? Maybe that's the way to do it. 303-382-1150. Doug, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid. This is Doug.
Hi, Doug.
I think that Kerry would do himself well if he just let Clark do the major battle here, because it's mainly Clark's battle. Kerry only has the say of Clark. He doesn't have inside information like Bush does on this matter. So I think it's very important that he maybe just support Clark in saying that maybe the president's not as hard on terrorism as we think, not necessarily throw all his weight into the battle. And that's my view.
So if you were running his campaign, that's what you would advise him to do.
Yeah. Also, I would, however, definitely get Kerry commenting about the stronger economy that Bush is always talking about. You know, over the weekend, it sort of inflamed me to hear, you know, greater home ownership. And it's due to tax cuts. That's baloney. That, you know, bottom line.
But see, here's what's amazing. Here's amazing, Doug. They can say any kind of lie they want, and people believe it.
Well, that's the bottom line.
And that's our fault.
Well,
and where people are getting their information from? I was talking to my cousin, and he's older. He's retired. He has liberal sympathies, but he's voting his pocketbook, I think, or is feeling like voting his pocketbook. And where is he going? And this is a very well-educated man. I mean, where is he getting his information? The cable channels. The cable channels are all right-wing, pretty much. He's reading the newspaper, and he's listening to their spin on things. And he isn't the only person that's being influenced in this way.
Well, and bottom line, you know, the economy, I think, right now is operating on refinancing. Interest rates are so low, everyone and their brothers refinance. Look at the billions of dollars. In Boulder County alone, just the $80 registration fee to refinance saved the county's financial butt this year. That's how many people refinance. So, you know, the bottom line, refinancing is feeding and fueling the economy.
Yeah, but we can't go on refinancing at low interest rates forever, because the economy won't sustain it.
That's my point. Kerry needs to start hitting on this, that, hey, the economy looks like it's doing better, but in reality, it's all smoke and mirrors. And I think that's what he needs to focus on, not necessarily getting
He's also got to focus. Here's what Bill Clinton was able to do, and Bill Clinton was a genius at it. Clinton was able to spin a vision and get everybody to buy into the vision, the shining city on the hill. He could do that. And Kerry's got to be able to do that and bring us along with him. He's got to concoct a positive vision, and not just out of smoke and mirrors, but something that we can believe in, or we want to believe in, or sufficient so that, like watching a play or a movie, we can suspend our disbelief long enough to get him elected. However flawed he is, and there's no question he's probably flawed as well, he's going to be less flawed than Dickey in the White House. And I thank you, Doug, for the call. 303-382-1150. All right, here's some information that you may not, some very specific information about how we are not safer from terrorism. That the administration has used fear and intimidation to keep the White House airtight and to keep it from leaking. But the fact is that the Pentagon pulled the fighting force most equipped for hunting down Osama bin Laden from Afghanistan in order to pre-position it in Iraq. This group is called the 5th Group Special Forces, were a rare breed in the U.S. military. They spoke Arabic, Pashtun, and Dari. Remember, I was talking about this earlier. They'd been in Afghanistan for half a year, had developed a network of local sources and alliances, and believed that they were closing in on Osama bin Laden. Without warning, they were then given the task of tracking down Saddam Hussein. We were going nuts on the ground about that decision that day, one of them recalls. In spite of the fact that it had taken 5 months to establish trust, suddenly there were 2 days only to hand over to people who spoke no Dari, Pashtun, or Arabic, and they had no rapport with the locals. So a new group of people came in, and these people who were closing in on Osama bin Laden were redirected to Iraq. Along with the redeployment of human assets came a reallocation of sophisticated hardware. The U.S. Air Force has only 2 specially equipped RC-135U spy planes. They had successfully vectored in on al-Qaeda leadership, radio transmissions, and cell phone calls, but they could no longer circle over the mountains of the Pakistan-Afghanistan border. The Bush White House has banked on all who were privy to these details keeping the code of silence. But too many people outside the White House sphere of influence are too well informed, be they commandos on the ground or career civil servants at the State Department or the CIA. Some have come forward, risking the ire of the Bushies. Many more are considering it, weighing their conscience along their sense of self-preservation. Several who are talking are doing so on condition of anonymity. But as the campaign heats up, some are going to go on the record. It's becoming clear their silence might ensure that the Bush White House gets away with the central lie of its tenure, the blanket denial that it abandoned the war on terror to pursue an unrelated, pre-selected Iraq agenda. The latter, the Bush administration proclaims that it is the only qualified protector of national security, the more offensively that rings in the ears of those who know the truth. Sooner or later, and certainly before November, that truth will out. So this is Philip James writing in The Guardian, which is an English newspaper, respected English newspaper, that in fact people were diverted from closing in on, and people and resources were diverted from closing in on al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden to, they were redirected to Afghanistan. 303-382-1150. John, on a cell, hi, you're live with Enid.
Well, hello, Enid. I think you have a terrific show, and I really enjoy what you're doing.
Thank you.
The first thing that has occurred to me when I'm listening to this discussion is that old fairy tale, the emperor has no clothes.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly we are seeing.
Oh, this is it. No question about that.
And because of that, all we have to do is get that emperor out among the people, and more of them will... we'll figure it out.
Don't be so optimistic about that one. So far, no, the people haven't been figuring it out like they should.
Well, there's a lot of time between now and November, and there's no question in my mind that the more exposure that guy gets, and the more he tries to be discussed and be proud about what he has done in the last 3 years, more and more people will understand that he does not have any clothes. So. I don't think there's a real thing to worry about, and I think John Kerry would be
realize that he doesn't have any clothes, what about the e-voting and the possibility for altering the tallies? Because we're so close on this one. The five swing states are talking about. Even Colorado has become a swing state. It's a neck and neck competition here.
Let me ask you that: if that's feasible, if things like that are feasible, and I dare say they probably are, don't you think both sides will have as good an opportunity to take advantage of that? I mean, why would you?
No, because it's the Republicans who own these e-voting companies, and they have pledged themselves to the re-election of George W. Bush. For some reason, I think it's going to go more in the direction of the Republicans than the Democrats. But it's a good question that you're posing, John, and I thank you for posing it. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Across Denver and the Front Range, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get express front disc brake service at Pep Boys for just $49.99 after mail-in rebate. Or get a $25 Pep Boys gift card with our best quiet stop brake service. See store for details. Pep Boys. Parts, service, and so much more.
Yesterday, a woman asked me if Beaujolais goes with pork tenderloin. Excuse me, what? Like I can stop and think about pairing wine with food while I've got a house to sell.
Coldwell Banker knows your buyer could be anywhere. That's why we're everywhere. So relax. Our global network will market your home worldwide. Coldwell Banker. Visit coldwellbanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated except offices owned and operated by Entertain Incorporated.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Have you been thinking about donating your car, boat, truck, or RV? Jewish Family Service makes helping the less fortunate while saving on your taxes as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1. Call Jewish Family Service at 303-597-5000. 2. Arrange a pickup time. 3. Get a receipt for your tax donation. It's that easy. Call JFS at 303-597-5000 or visit their website at jewishfamilyservice.org and point your car in a direction that will help children and families in need.
Talk to Doug Kellett.
I be very honest. I have listened to her 3 times.
Okay.
Can't get past the first 15 minutes of the show. This is the only radio station that I have programmed into my radio at home.
Bless you, Robin.
I have found this station. This is home, and I thoroughly enjoy this station.
Well, I tell you what, if it's only one show you don't like, we're doing all right, Robin.
You are.
Doug Kellett, weekdays from 3 to 6 on AM 1150 KNRC. Hear one of Denver's most entertaining personalities, Doug Kellett, weekdays at 3.
It's here at last.
He's daring.
He's dashing.
He's dangerous.
He's beautiful.
He's Doug Kellett. Doug Kellett. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now that we're in Iraq, having invaded a country that was not threatening us in any way, 90% of the population in most of the Arab and Islamic countries hates the United States. So we now have a much higher hurdle to mount.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
154 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. This is from John. John said, headline of a story he sent to me, Library Destroyed. Dateline, Washington, a tragic fire on Wednesday destroyed the personal library of George W. Bush. Both of his books have been lost. A spokesman said the president was devastated as he had not yet finished coloring the second one. More details to come. 303-382-1150. Ruth, calling from Fort Collins. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, Enid.
Hi, Ruth.
I think there are certain things that Kerry has to speak out on, and I do believe that he can't stay away from the fray and let others speak for him.
I'm with you, and I think he needs to pick his battles wisely. I think when he speaks, he has to really land on target with a pithy, witty, good, well-structured sentence or soundbite. That's the way he's got to do it.
Yeah, I think there are several things that he can really hit Bush on and also give the country hope on. I think the closed secret society that Bush has been running, you can make a very strong case that any closed secret government makes democracy weak. And it also is very, very dangerous. And that's what comes across with the information not getting to all the various departments. It's very hard to run a open government when you have at the top of it a closed secret administration.
Why do you think they're being so secret? Why the shroud of secrecy even over the most innocuous information?
I think from what I read in the paper and what is coming out, they are trying very, very hard to stop the average American citizen from seeing certain things. The thing that happened with health care, people are not putting enough emphasis on it, that he went and took away our right to barter prices. As a nation, he took them away. We cannot barter with the drug company.
You mean bargain?
That's right.
Yes.
To negotiate.
Yes, that's right. Which is what Canada and other countries do. They negotiate on the basis of massive purchasing power. Uh-huh. They negotiate the prices downward. And the American government has been prevented by law from doing that. The pharmaceutical companies got their money. The HMOs, the insurance companies got their money. And the rest of us got screwed. And the program, if it continues on as is, will be bankrupt in something like 2019 or 2016. Ruth, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. John in Colorado Springs. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Listen, there's a couple of things, and one that's been going around the Internet is people are suggesting voting absentee to get the paper trail created and avoid this electronic nonsense altogether.
You know, will that work?
I don't know.
I did hear somebody make that suggestion. Do you think that's a viable?
I don't know. I guess we'll kind of put it out there and see, because
let's ask,
mess around with legislation.
Let's ask Bev Harris, Joe. Let's ask Bev Harris, if we vote absentee, will that eliminate the problem of e-voting, and will that give us a paper trail, or are there pitfalls with that? We will call her and ask her that question.
Great.
Thanks.
Another thing. Remember when this attack, Saddam was up at Lake Michigan or somewhere ready to attack us, and with bioterror and the smallpox vaccine had to be made right now.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder which one of Bush's buddies got the contract for that, to make an all that smallpox
Well, it's
vaccine.
Funny that you should mention this, because not only is there a freeze on Homeland Security hiring at a very bad time for the administration, but the Pentagon put out a report, and I've got to dig it out here, that says that we are woefully unprepared for any kind of bioterrorism. We are completely unprepared. Now, here it is. It's a censored study. 2 years after a report on the 2001 anthrax attacks was completed, the Pentagon has released parts of this unclassified document, which concludes that the nation is woefully ill-prepared to detect and respond to a bioterrorist assault. And this is 2 years after the anthrax attack. So this is an administration that has not made us safer, and the Pentagon is apparently not afraid to let us know that. John, I thank you for the call. 303-322-1150. We're out of time in this hour. In the next hour, we're going to be joined by David Shipler. The book is called The Working Poor, Invisible in America. He is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter. He has worked for the New York Times. The book has been on the bestseller list. I'm very interested in what he has to say. I'm Enid Goldstein. One more hour of Enid Live right here on AM 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Williams. More pressure today on National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice to testify under oath before the 9/11 Commission. Democrat John Kerry says it's the right thing to do. NBC's Bob Kerr says others also want her to speak.
The White House as well is hearing from Republicans on Capitol Hill and even on the 9/11 Commission, who are saying that it's a big mistake for the White House not to let Condoleezza Rice testify in public and perhaps under oath.
For her part, Dr. Rice says it would set a bad precedent. The federal ban on what some call partial birth abortions is up for legal debate in three cities today. President Bush signed the law last year, but critics have filed three separate suits saying it threatens abortion rights. It's the toughest measure of its kind. In the home of the pint, Ireland has outlawed smoking in almost all workplaces, including pubs. Violators will face a $4,000 fine. I'm Brian Williams, NBC News Radio.
I love old homes and homes with character.
Called a gable roof, I think it is.
Huge kitchen with an island in the middle.
If I don't know the terms, I get lost in the process.
Tile closings.
Contingency clause.
What are they going to take? What am I going to offer?
Who does it? Who do I call? I have no idea.
If you're looking to buy a home, you need someone with expertise to help you. Ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
My realtor's my partner.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
Mike Ditka, NFL Hall of Fame player and coach.
Hey, I know the ability to stay in the game is what really counts, and that's why I take Levitra. Levitra, Vardenafil HCL. It works for me. Find out if it'll work for you. Take action and ask your doctor about prescription Levitra. Visit Levitra.com or call 1-866-LEVITRA today.
Individual results may vary. Ask if a free trial is right for you. Levitra, stay in the game.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 62 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Let's check the roads with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by your local RE/MAX office, and we're still working at medical emergencies. Bound I-70 on the off-ramp to Federal. Watch for a lot of emergency vehicles on scene there. Still slow southbound 225 making your way into I-25. Everything else, though, looking quite nice around the metro area. When you're looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results, RE/MAX. There's a RE/MAX real estate office near you, so call them today. RE/MAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
In local news, police have a woman in custody in connection with the pre-dawn murder of a Denver cab driver. Detective Teresa Garcia says someone called 911 about 2:45 this morning.
Officers responded to 18th and Gilpin.
on a report of a possible fight. When they arrived, they discovered a male victim suffering from multiple stab wounds.
The victim was rushed to Denver Health, where he died a short time later. His name is being withheld until the police can notify relatives, but according to News 4, he is a 42-year-old native of Ethiopia. Meanwhile, officers arrested a woman identified as 19-year-old Amber Torres. Police have not yet determined a motive for the slaying. The victim was a driver for the Freedom Cab Company, where a dispatcher says the victim was a long-standing and valued employee. This report brought to you by Playnix Toys. Last week's attempted sexual assaults near the University of Denver campus remain very much on the minds of these school students. That's why today some of them are making ribbons bearing the words "rape-free zone" for distribution to everyone within the university community. The man suspected of two attempted sexual assaults last Thursday night remains on the loose. An on-campus event similar to the annual Take Back the Night rallies is planned for later this week. The coroner in Jefferson County has released the autopsy report of Heather DeWild, the woman who went missing last July after dropping her kids off with her estranged husband. Her body was found 2 months later in Clear Creek Canyon. The autopsy did not reveal the cause of the woman's death, but did show that she wasn't shot. Jefferson County Coroner Carl Blesch says some parts of the report have to remain sealed.
The description of Ms. DeWild in the manner in which she is found is quite unique and would be known only to persons who are intimately knowledgeable about her death.
No arrests have been made in the woman's death. An Aurora man was pronounced dead at the scene after his car collided with a semi-truck, according to Trooper Eric Wynn of the Colorado State Patrol. Shortly after 6 this morning, a Grand Am driven by 24-year-old Michael Brown was traveling south on State Route 79 north of Bennett, veered into the northbound lane, and ran into a Peterbilt. The driver of that truck was not injured. CSP investigators suspect that Brown might have fallen asleep. In sports, the Colorado Avalanche will try to get back on the winning track tonight as they play host to the L.A. Kings. When the Avs and Kings last got together in January, they tied at 3 each. The Avs have gone winless in their last 6 tries. Colorado Rockies are playing the San Francisco Giants this afternoon. At last check, top of the 5th, Rockies were leading that game 1-0. Denver Nuggets have the night off before they welcome the Seattle Supersonics tomorrow. Nuggets drop Saturday's game to the Utah Jazz. They're a half game behind Utah for the 8th and final playoff spot in the Western Conference. Playnix Toys Backyard Adventure swing set sale has been extended through April 5th. Save up to $1,100. Playnix, total safety for total fun. Playnix Toys, Englewood, Lone Tree, Flatirons, and Littleton. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News time is 2:05.
Looking for an alternative to Rush middays? Hear Enid Goldstein, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you. Join the Colorado Symphony and the Colorado Children's Chorale for a performance of Mendelssohn's A Midsummer Night's Dream and Schumann's Symphony No. 1, Spring, on April 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Tickets available at all King Super's Tickets West outlets and online at coloradosymphony.org. And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100 for your KNRC listener offer. The Colorado Symphony Orchestra, the sound of your life.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel, and the chill is gone. High pressure and sunshine work together to bring a delightful afternoon our way here in the Mile High City. We'll be up around 65 for the high, fair tonight with a low of 33, mostly sunny mid-60s on Tuesday, sunshine low 70s on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mostly sunny, 62 degrees. KNRC News time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And joining us in this segment, David Shipler, Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter. He worked for the New York Times. His new book, It's been on the bestseller list, The Working Poor, Invisible in America. David Chipler, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello, Enid. Thanks for having me on.
I was reading the reviews of the book, and it seemed so intriguing, and I wanted to hear you tell us the story about what your research has uncovered.
Well, I began in the fall of 97 and spent a lot of time with families over all of the intervening years. Not everybody, but some people I went back to repeatedly, and I'm still in touch with them, as a matter of fact. And what I found is a variety of things. I mean, one is, a lot of people say, well, who are the working poor? And my answer to that is that the working poor include the man who washes cars but doesn't own one, the assistant teacher who doesn't have enough money to put her own two children in the daycare center where she works in Ohio, the woman in Maine who was filing canceled checks in a bank but didn't have more than $2 in her own bank account. I spent time with migrant workers in North Carolina who harvest fruits and vegetables and also cut Christmas trees, with sewing workers in the garment district of Los Angeles, and factory workers in New England and the Midwest and so forth. These are folks whose labor is in our lives every day, but we rarely see them as whole people, I think, partly because they don't look poor to us. They work, and in the American ethic, if you work, you should be doing okay. So they wear a kind of camouflage, and that's the camouflage of the job, and yet they're paid so little that they, in fact, are either below the poverty line or they're just barely above it, and they can't seem to break out into the middle class.
You know, I remember reading Barbara Ehrenreich's book, Nickel and Dimed, and I've often thought, how can you make it on a minimum wage salary or even slightly above a minimum wage, even $10 an hour? Well, I don't know how people can, I don't know how they can support themselves.
Well, they can't unless there's more than one wage earner in the family. It's no accident that half the poor households in America are headed by single women, and a number of others are headed by single men. Where you have married couples, I mean, some married couples are both working and they're still poor, but it's a lot easier, even if you're earning $7 or $8 an hour, and if you multiply that by two, you're not doing too badly. But for those who are single parents and have children to support, the minimum wage or even slightly above it is not enough. If you look at the federal poverty line for a single parent and three children, it's now $18,725 a year. If you do the arithmetic and you figure people earning or working for 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year, that comes out to $9 an hour that they would have to make to be at the poverty line. So you know that when you go into Walmart or Burger King or a lot of other places, the folks there are not making $9 an hour.
What is the answer? What do we have to do? I mean, even at a minimum wage, and what is the minimum wage? Is it $6.80 an hour?
No, the federal minimum wage is $5.15 an hour.
$5.15 an hour.
Yes.
And even at that wage, they want to outsource the jobs because that's still too high.
That's still too high to be competitive on a global market. That's true with some jobs. That minimum wage has not been changed in many years. In real dollars, it's probably down, in the $3 range now. Now, there are about a dozen states, I don't know if Colorado is one of them, that have higher minimum wages.
California is one of them.
California has $6.75 an hour, for example. But, if anybody who tries to live in the Bay Area at $6.75 an hour knows that that's not very good either.
I moved here from the Bay Area.
Yeah, so
you couldn't live in your car for $6.75 an hour.
Right.
My guest, if you're just tuning in, David Chipler, a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter, his new book, The Working Poor, Invisible in America. So here are these people who are parts of, make our lives run more efficiently. And our thank you to them is a minimum wage, or even above a minimum wage, and they can't make it on a minimum wage.
No,
or above a minimum wage. And it's an interesting argument. I don't know if you saw the Wall Street Journal on Thursday or Friday of last week, where Wall Street seems to love Walmart because they squeeze everything they can out of their employees and pay them the least they can get away with, whereas Wall Street is not apparently as fond of Costco, Because Costco pays is much better to its employees, pays a higher wage, better health benefits, pays more health benefits, you know, assumes more of the cost of the health benefits, but the return on the Costco stock is not as great as on the Walmart stock, apparently.
Yeah, that's right. I had a very interesting interview with a Walmart manager at one point, and in this book I did talk to employers because I wanted to see how things looked from the perspective of the boss. And so the manager said to me that, and I said, well, could you pay your starting people $8 instead of $6.25? And he said, yeah, we could do that. And I said, well, what impact would that have? I expected him to say we'd have to raise prices. But he said, no, we wouldn't have to raise prices. We would, you know, it would cut into the profits a bit, and we might have to take down some balloons and decorations, but, you know, we could do it. But they don't have to do it because the labor market is such that people will go to work for that amount of money. Because they need the jobs, and they need any job they can get, practically.
Well, a lot of immigrants come to this country, some of them legal, some of them illegal, and what they do when they get these minimum wage jobs is they work like crazy. They share, you know, they're 50 people, too. You know, they have hot beds, so someone's always sleeping in a bed and shifts, and there are many, many people to a one-bedroom apartment because that's the only way they can do it.
Well, I wrote a chapter in this book, and I entitled the chapter Work Works. There's also a chapter, Work Doesn't Work, but there's a chapter called Work Works about people who have succeeded. And one family I found came from Vietnam, and they illustrate this point perfectly because there's a husband and wife and three kids. The two kids, when they arrived, were late teens, early 20s, and the father and the two kids went to work in factories at very low wages, $6-$7 an hour. But when you multiply that by three, you have actually a fairly decent income. I think they were pulling in about $42,000 a year. And in a few months, they managed to save enough money to buy two used cars, not on credit, for cash. They paid back the loans they had been given by relatives and friends and by government agencies because they were refugees, so they got some loans. And they were actually doing fairly well. The father was insistent that his kids learn English. They went to a community college where they were studying English. He understood that multiple wage earners, English language, and education were the three major tickets that you had to have to get out of poverty as an immigrant.
Plus, he had family loans, it sounds like, and
right.
He had some government loans, and then altogether he had a winning combination. But what is the RX here for people who don't have family loans, who may not be qualified for government loans, who have low-wage jobs? What is the answer? How can they ever get out, especially in a globalized environment where we think even a minimum wage is too high a wage?
Well, you know, Enid, I discovered that there is not an answer, that you can't speak of it in the singular, because the problem is not a problem. It's a cluster of problems that interact with one another and magnify one another. There's a whole cluster of problems on the society's side. Poor education, inadequate government aid, private industry, bad housing in neighborhoods which can affect health. So those are all part of the equation. They're on one side of the equation. They're the side that liberal Democrats usually look at. And then there's a whole other set of problems that you could cluster under the title family and individual failure. It is very difficult to find a poor family that has not been the victim of its own behavior as well as the society's behavior. That is, and that the behavior by its own behavior, I mean dropping out of school, having a baby out of wedlock, doing drugs, being chronically late to work or not showing up at all. But these behaviors, in turn, many of them have been inherited by being poorly parented, poorly schooled, poorly housed in neighborhoods that don't have a distant vision of opportunity and possibility. So it's a real combination of things. I mean, I found a woman, for example, in Washington, D.C., who had a kind of rocky home family situation when she was a kid. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't as loving and supportive as it might have been. And she was raped and didn't think her mother would believe that she was a victim, and she ran away from home and got into the drug scene in New York. And really hit bottom. I mean, she was dealing drugs and finally got so desperate she practically asked to be arrested. There wasn't an arrest warrant out for her. She turned herself into the police in Washington, D.C., And luckily for her, she was brought before a judge who had the discretion to sentence her to rehab instead of to prison. And he saw some spark of possibility in her, so he did send her to a very good drug rehabilitation program. There are not enough of these rehabilitation programs in the country. We need many more beds than we have, and they need to be government-funded. So she took it seriously. She worked hard, and she remembers to this day everybody who helped her in this rehab program. And when she got out, she got into a very good job training program, privately funded in this case, but one that was very sophisticated and worked just not only on the skills of teaching her how to run a computer, but also on her own self-esteem, her sense of possibility and work ethics and all that kind of stuff. And then she was hired by Xerox, which made a real effort to teach her and sent her to technical school. And now she's doing quite well. She's working for Xerox, which has contracts with the Department of Energy, as a middle manager. And she's making $12 or $13 an hour. And I think that it's a good case because she combined both the personal attributes, the persistence and the determination to do well on the one hand, with the society's programs that helped her at key junctures, key moments, the judge in court, the drug rehab program, the job training program, and the private company that took a chance on her. So if things all line up perfectly, it works. But if they don't, and they usually don't, then, you know, trying to get out of poverty is like going through a minefield. And if you step on one, you're dead.
My guest is David Chipler, his book, The Working Poor, Invisible in America. But, you know, the idea that comes to mind here is this. During the Depression, there was a wonderful story. It came out of one of the English papers last week or the week before, where the reporter contrasted the fear. And in the Depression, Americans were very scared. And one of the first things that Franklin Roosevelt did was to try to manage the fear and instill a sense of optimism. And, you know, the classic line, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And this is a contrast with the present administration, which wants to use fear to manipulate you. But the government became the employer of first and sometimes last resort. Or last and sometimes first resort, the WPA, Works Progress Administration. The idea being that we could somehow go to work, all of us, to do the things that needed to be done. We were helping each other, and the government was paying. And it seems to me that right now what we have are a lot of people who are the victims of very bad family lives, and I think that's where a lot of it starts. It isn't only the bad schools or the bad housing, but it's that they never had enough of whatever it takes to really help you on in life. And I think one of the things we can do, if we're being utterly idealistic, and maybe it is even slightly possible here, is a kind of WPA where we help each other out. And I don't care what education program it is, the ones that always succeed always have the same things in common, and that is more attention is paid to somebody. So somebody, the case that you're citing here, people took time, they paid attention, they tried to help her. There was a kind of schooling that went on, whether formally or informally, whether it was called drug rehab or whether it was called training from Xerox.
Well, I think that's right. I don't know if a WPA is necessary, but certainly more government funding is necessary. An economist in Washington, Robert Lerman, once said to me, if there's a good idea, you can be pretty sure that it's being tried by somebody somewhere in America. And I think that's true. If you look around the country, you'll come across a patchwork of scattered programs, some of them very intensive childhood intervention programs where trauma teams, in effect, go into homes with parents' permission and help them learn how to nurture their kids because they were not nurtured as parents very often in disrupted homes. And so they don't know how to play with their children, for example. They don't understand that cognitive development in children now has been discovered to be dependent to a large extent on how much stress there is in a family, how much nurturing there is. So, you know, when you intervene intensively, you can make a difference in IQ. They've measured IQ at age 4 after these interventions, and they've found differences between kids who've had the help and benefits and those who haven't. So there are these programs, but they're poorly funded. They're not coordinated. We do not devote the resources that we could. And we do pay for the problems, though. We pay for not doing it. I mean, I can't prove this, but I'm sure the more we invest in programs like this, the early intervention programs, the less we'll have to invest in prisons years from now.
Well, and we're becoming, as it is, a nation of ex-convicts. For people who say, well, you know, it's not my problem. I went to school, and if people can't fend for themselves, that's their problem. I guess my answer would be, to the extent to which we allow impoverished people to exist determines our own level of impoverishment, maybe at a spiritual level. What would you say?
I would say that I agree with you. I mean, we're all in the same boat, and it has a leak. Our economy, the health of our economy, if you just want to look at it from a selfish viewpoint, depends on having a workforce that's competitive globally, and it's increasingly dependent on that. If we have folks who can't function well in the job market, then the whole economy will ultimately be dragged down. I mean, right now, people want to come into the United States, and we object to that. A lot of people say, you know, we don't want illegal immigrants, but they're coming here because there are jobs that pay better than they do in Mexico or Guatemala or Honduras. I think we ought to be glad that people still want to come into the country. When the day comes when people want to get out of it, that's when we're really in trouble. I think that, from a selfish viewpoint, business ought to be right at the vanguard of wanting to reallocate resources to improve public education, for example. Because in the long term, if they're thinking about the health of their businesses 20, 30, 40 years out, they're going to need a much better prepared workforce than they have now. So we're all in this together. I mean, that's not even to address the moral question. And by the way, I would say that there's an awful lot of generosity and concern in the United States about this. I encountered all kinds of very small episodes and incidents where people would reach out and do favors and help other people when it didn't matter to them.
Doesn't it surprise you that there's a lot of selfishness coexisting with a lot of generosity? People are, you'll read stories about somebody, car going off the side of a bridge and someone just spontaneously diving in to help rescue people. So there's this great sort of, a kind of reflexive generosity. At the same time, we're tremendously selfish.
That's right. We are. I mean, I've talked to people in business who say, well, if you raise the low wages, then you have to raise the middle wages and the upper wages too, because the difference is very important to maintain. And I'm thinking to myself now, why is that? I mean, we have a greater difference in wages now than any time since the Gilded Age, literally. And I don't understand the logic of that. I kept saying to people, you know, if you started your people at $8 or $9 an hour instead of $6.25, you know, what would that do? And they'd say, oh, well, we'd have to then raise the foreman and the secretary and the bookkeeper because otherwise everything would be out of whack. I kept hearing this phrase.
Well, the big out of whack is, you're quite right, executive salary are huge multiples of what people in the company work for.
Yes.
And that's horrible. But the question I want to ask you, David, what was the surprise was there something surprising that came out of your research? Were you surprised as you wrote the book?
I was surprised again and again. One surprise was the interlocking nature of all the problems, the cascading nature. That is, a bad house exacerbates a boy's asthma, sends him to the hospital in an ambulance that the insurance company won't pay for. So it goes on the credit report of his mother, who then cannot get a car loan at a decent interest rate and ends up having to pay twice the interest that I have to pay for a car loan because she is financially unhealthy. And she has to buy a crummy car that doesn't get her to work on time, and so her job prospects are damaged, and she's in the same cycle. This actually happened to a woman I know in New Hampshire. And I think that the cascading nature of the problems was one of the things that struck me, and I hadn't quite understood it before. The other part of it was the high rate of sexual abuse among the women I interviewed. I mean, I sat with women who were mothers, often single mothers, and would ask them an open-ended question, such as, tell me about your childhood. And most of the women said to me they had been molested as children by their fathers, stepfathers, mother's boyfriends, older siblings in a foster family. And I'm a stranger to them, but they're telling me this because it's a way of explaining why they distrust men, no surprise there, and why they've been unable to form lasting emotional attachments with men, which has an economic impact, of course. Now, I have no evidence that sexual abuse is more frequent among low-income families than among affluent families, but I do know that when it happens, low-income families are less able to recover from it because they don't have the resources to buy therapy or even sometimes the knowledge that therapy is available. And for a woman who's gone through this, who defends herself with an emotional cutoff, what's called a dissociative reaction where she's stepped outside of herself and she's seeing this happen to herself but she's not emotionally involved in it anymore, for her to be a good mother herself and to be a good wife or partner, she needs to be trusting. She needs to be emotionally accessible. And often, the best way to get there is through some professional counseling. Poor families, poor women just don't have access to that. So that's a very debilitating problem.
I am so delighted that you wrote this book and have highlighted the problem. My guest, David Shipler, The Working Poor, Invisible in America. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you, David. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
The market goes up and the market goes down. The name in business is CNBC, and it's exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
Can I help you?
Decaf double latte.
And you?
Same thing. Only, can you add a shot of coconut milk?
Coconut milk?
Ooh, coconut milk. That is a great idea. And do you have any pineapple?
In your coffee?
Absolutely. Oh, and one of those little umbrellas, please.
Oh, okay. It must be beach week.
Oh, yeah. For the week of March 28th, you're going to eat, sleep, drink, live the beach.
You know what? You guys could really use some reggae music in here.
Beach Week, all week, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific, only on the Travel Channel.
My neighbors stopped by my house this afternoon and asked if I had any basil.
Unbelievable. I've been trying to find a house and a mortgage,
and she thinks I can drop everything to concentrate on dried leaves.
Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage makes buying a home less stressful, and our family of companies can also handle your mortgage with a competitive rate and quick decision. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage. Visit ColoradoHomes.com. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT Incorporated.
AM 1150 KNRC and the Denver Business Journal present Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Tune in to KNRC weekdays at 7:20 a.m. to hear interviews with leaders like Charles Schwab, Michael Dell of Dell Computers, Gloria Steinem, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. These extraordinary individuals will share what made the difference in their careers and help them to establish their roles as leaders. Insights is brought to you by EKS&H Accounting and Business Advisory Firm and First National Bank of Colorado.
I'm Jennifer Slaw, CNBC Business Radio. Strong gains on Wall Street today. The Dow up 117 points to 10,330. The Nasdaq higher by 33 to 1993. The judge in the Tyco criminal case says no mistrial. Defense lawyers had made a motion for one, saying the trial has been compromised by media coverage exposing the identity of a juror. Former Tyco executives Dennis Kozlowski and Mark Swartz are accused of looting the company of $600 million. Investors today welcomed a drop in crude oil prices. OPEC will decide on Wednesday whether to go ahead with planned production cuts for April. It's getting even more expensive at the pumps. The government says gas prices hit a new record high today. The average price of regular gasoline is at $1.75 a gallon. Meantime, the latest Bloomberg survey says gas prices could go even higher. And U.S. Treasury Secretary John Snow is warning against a move toward trade protectionism in the U.S. Snow says it's important to remember exports lead to jobs. Jennifer Sloan, CNBC Business Radio.
For today's businesses, even something like choosing an accounting firm can put you at risk. Some are so big they can't remember your name. Others, they're just too small. But at Grant Thornton, you'll get easy access to our partners and resources in 48 U.S. offices, providing accounting services with integrity since 1924. Get to know us at grantthornton.com. We've got a passion for the business of accounting.
Is now a good time to sell my house? How much can I get for it? Do I have to leave the house when people look at it? Should I hide the stuffed moose head?
Coldwell Banker received the J.D. Power & Associates Award for the highest overall satisfaction for first-time home sellers among national full-service real estate firms. So let us help you. Coldwell Banker. Visit coldwellbanker.com. All offices independently owned and operated except offices owned and operated by NRT Incorporated. For J.D. Power & Associates Award information, visit jdpower.com.
AM 1150 KNRC caught John Kerry confidentially the other day talking about our morning show host, Jimmy Lakey.
These guys are the most crooked, lying group I've ever seen.
It's scary.
I think Jimmy may be getting on his nerves. What do you think? Find out mornings with Jimmy Lakey exclusively on Denver's AM 1150 KNRC. Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:33 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and I think it's time to give away two tickets to Tommy Franks right now. He's going to be speaking at Betcher Concert Hall, which is at Champa and, what do I want to say, 14th? The Denver Performing Arts Center Complex. The tickets are worth $66. He's speaking tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. This is retired General Tommy Franks. The only catch is you've got to be able to pick up the tickets at the station. And we are at 18th and Lawrence sometime between now and the lecture tomorrow night at 7's business hours. So between, let's say, 9 and 5. 303-382-1150 is the number. And you be the what number caller, Joe? Fifth caller. 303-382-1150. If you're the fifth caller, 303-382-1150, you're going to win a pair of tickets worth $66 to hear Tommy Franks tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at Betcher Concert Hall. I really think we have a winner. You have to be able to pick these up sometime before business hours at the station, sometime before tomorrow. There we go. We have a winner. So congratulations to somebody. A couple things that I want to talk to you about. First of all, demonstrators are swarming around Karl Rove's home. You know, the evil genius behind George W. Bush. He's been called Bush's brain. Several hundred people stormed his yard, pounding on his window, shoving signs, challenging Rove to talk to them about a bill that deals with educational opportunities for immigrants. Protesters poured out of one school bus after another, piercing an otherwise quiet, peaceful Sunday at his neighborhood in northwest section of Washington. Karl, come on out. See what the Dream Act is all about. Seems like he doesn't want to invite us in for tea, they all said. So anyway, they've surrounded his house. And the thing I want to talk to you about, did anybody see Frank Rich's column in yesterday's New York Times? This is really good. I thought he made a really good point. He says the television is increasingly awash in fake anchors delivering fake news, some of them far more trenchant than real anchors delivering real news. And not only on Saturday Night Live where they do that fake broadcast, but the Jon Stewart show, The Daily Show, which is really, sometimes it's a better newscast than anything you're going to find on Fox usually. Well, he's talking about how he said, it's getting so absurd that The Daily Show was in a heat with an actual show, which was Chris Matthews' Hardball, over who would be the first to be able to interview Desmond Tutu. We hope it's the real Desmond Tutu. At such absurd moments, Frank Rich writes, which are more and more countless these days in our 24/7 information miasma, real journalism and its evil twin merge into a mind-bending mutant that would defy a polygraph's ability to sort out the lies from the truth. This phenomenon has been good news for the Bush administration, he goes on to say, which has responded to the growing national appetite for fictionalized news by producing a steady stream of its own. So here you've got, remember you had those fake anchors and fake reporters and fake pharmacists in the video news release that the Bush administration did touting the virtues of the Medicare overhaul that includes drug benefits now? They were distributed by the Department of Health and Human Services to local news shows around the country. They were broadcast whole and in part as actual news by more than 50 stations in 40 states to hype the Medicare program. Allegedly, these were real anchors, but they weren't, not any of them have any credits that you could ever find. They really spend most of their time touting the benefits of Excedrin, etc. And he goes on to say that here you have Richard Clark, former counterism chief Richard Clark going public with his parallel account of the fake news that the Bush administration was putting out about how it responded to 9/11. Utter fiction, a lot of it. Bush's repeated claim that one of his, quote, first acts of that morning of 9/11 was to put the military on alert. It's false. And remember I read you all that in the Wall Street Journal? So are the president's claim that he watched the first airplane hit the World Trade Center on TV that morning. No such video has even yet existed, nor was Air Force One under threat as Mr. Bush flew around the country delaying his return to Washington. Yet the fake narrative of 9/11 has been scrupulously maintained by the White House for more than 2 years, although the administration has tried at every juncture to stonewall the 9/11 investigating committee. So you have here a trend of fake news. Saturday Night Live's fake news, The Daily Show's fake news, which is really good. I mean, a lot of people love watching that because it's like sometimes when you're reading fiction, it can be truer than the truth. And here you have the fake news put out by the Bush administration. I just thought it was an interesting take on it, where he sort of ropes all this together. What do you think? 303-382-1150. And I want to congratulate Simon in North Glen. He was the winner of the Tommy Frank tickets to the Tommy Frank lecture tomorrow night at Betcher Concert Hall. Congratulations to you, Simon. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 62 degrees. Let's check traffic now with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Heritage for the Blind, and really a pretty quiet drive out there right now. Not a whole lot going on. Of course, we do have Cesar Chavez Day. All those parking meters are free. And we are on a smog alert, Denver Red Air Advisory. So if it's possible that you can commute with someone else, it would be good if you could do so today. This traffic report is a service of Heritage for the Blind. Don't sell it. Don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit taxdeduction.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your traffic on AM 1150 KNRC.
19-year-old Amber Torres is in custody in connection with the murder of a Denver cab driver. The victim was rushed to Denver Health, where he died shortly after of multiple stab wounds. Police don't have a motive yet in the early morning slaying. This report brought to you by TV Guide. A 24-year-old Aurora man lost his life this morning when his car collided with a semi. Michael Brown was traveling south on State Route 79 north of Bennett when his car veered into the northbound lane. CSP investigators suspect Brown fell asleep behind the wheel. The Jefferson County Coroner has released the autopsy results of Heather DeWild, whose body was found in Clear Creek Canyon 2 months after she went missing. The coroner was unable to determine the cause of death for the 30-year-old mother of two. What's on TV tonight? TV Guide Channel knows. Watch the all-new series What's On and find what's new, what's best, and what's next on TV. Tonight, only on TV Guide Channel. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:40.
The talk doesn't stop on AM 1150 on weekends. We are live and local all day Saturday and Sunday. Listen for John Jack DeMesterton, Ezzie Cortez, and Darren Copeland beginning at 8 a.m. Sundays exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live.
Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it.
Just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. This will be a much better afternoon than the one we had yesterday, as we are now under the influence of high pressure. Mostly sunny, warmer with a high right around 65, mainly clear tonight, a low of 33. Mostly sunny in the mid-60s again on Tuesday, sunshine and low 70s on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
63 degrees under mostly sunny skies. KNRC News Time is 2:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Belcaro Paint and Decorating hopes you'll forgive us for bragging a little. We've won an award. And because the environment is really important to us, we're pretty proud of it. Belcaro, a Benjamin Moore dealer, was recently named a recipient of the Environmental Achievement Award by the state of Colorado. What's our achievement? It's the Wet Paint Color Swatch program, which Belcaro pioneered nationally. As you know, choosing the right paint color is usually by trial and error. In the past, consumers had to buy an entire quart to get a sample. Wrong colors often get tossed out and eventually make their way into the environment. But Belcaro offers 1.5-ounce paint swatches, enough to cover 4 square feet, and more than enough to make the right decision. They're inexpensive and come in more than 6,000 colors, including our entire Benjamin Moore line. Wet paint color swatches. Good for you, good for the environment. From Belcaro Paint and Decorating, a Benjamin Moore quality paint dealer. 5475 Leedsdale Drive, just one block west of Holly. Online at belcaro.com.
Across the Front Range and the Rocky Mountains, more and more of you are choosing AM 1150 KNRC as Denver's premier talk station.
When news happens, you guys are on top of it.
I listen in my car. I listen at work.
Denver's premier talk station.
You're my new best friend.
Just keep up the great work.
Hear both sides daily.
Both sides.
On AM 1150 KNRC. Flush Rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
I think the terrorists began thinking they could push the United States around a long time ago when there were major terrorist attacks like that and there was no military retaliation. Al-Qaeda has metamorphosized into a Hydra-headed organization with cells that are operating autonomously, like the cells that operated in Madrid recently.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:44 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And if you're just joining us, you've missed a lot. You missed David Shipler talking about the invisible poor in America. And you have missed a really vibrant discussion about Condoleezza Rice. Did you watch 60 Minutes last night? Do you think she made the case? I'm getting all kinds of emails. Hi, Enid. Did you ever notice that when Condi's making a point about the truth, she almost always shakes her head no while she's talking? Watch her yourself. And this is from David. And we're talking about a lot of different things. We're talking mainly about the effect that Richard Clark's book and his testimony before the 9/11 Commission is going to have on the election and how the White House is trying to hit back with everything it's got. Its response is really ferocious, which is great theater. I love watching this. I wouldn't want to be poor Richard Clark, but he knew what he was letting himself in for. Condoleezza Rice is trying to work out a deal where she will testify again before the commission, but only in private. She won't do it in public. I don't think she made the case yesterday, and they are still clamoring, and the polls I don't think are going their way. The administration is locked in a dead heat with John Kerry in 5 swing states, and I think more than that, because in the 5 swing states information I saw, Colorado was not among them, and they're locked into a dead heat in Colorado, a state that might have been expected to go Republican. It may not. And what we have to worry about is whether or not the voting machines will give us a level playing field, because you can go in there and you can hack the data without leaving any footprints. And we did call Bev Harris. Joe Anderson called Bev Harris at blackboxvoting.org. She really is extremely knowledgeable on this subject, because one of you said it's all over the Internet that if you use an absentee ballot, that, in fact, Joe, come on in here and tell me what she said. If you use an absentee ballot, that you will leave a paper trail and your vote will count, but actually that's not the case. If you use an absentee ballot, what will happen is it goes into some sort of a locked situation, and by law in some places they can't do a count. They can't go back and recount it. Is that it? What did Ben Harris say, Joe?
It's a really complicated situation. We probably should just have her on the show again. But the best way to deal with it is the absentee ballot gets set in, but it's still counted by computer. So you're still got the same situation as if you would just
So the computer, even though you've got a paper trail with your absentee ballot, which you might not have in some forms of e-voting, the computer counts it. And again, somebody can go in. The software is so problematic that somebody can go in, hack it, alter the tally, and leave no footprints behind, no fingerprints on this thing.
Yeah, she did recommend if you were going to send in an absentee ballot, not to send it through the post office, because the post office will they will contract out to the private firms, which, you know, often hire felons count up the votes. And
How do you send your ballot in if you're not going to do it through the post office?
You send it to the election office itself. You drop it off there. But even then, like I said, it's still a paper ballot that still gets submitted into the computer. And so,
is all of our mail handled by felons at the post office, or just the ballots?
Well, not the post office itself. Just they contract out with other companies to handle that.
Handle ballots or handle other forms of mail?
I think both. Like I said, this is a complicated thing, and you know, Bev Harris would be much more.
All right. So, in other words, the bottom line here, Joe Anderson, is if we do an absentee ballot hoping to leave a paper trail and having our vote actually count, that might not be a very good solution either.
Yeah. Like you said, she was discussing that some states, it's even, they will lock away the votes, but it's illegal to go back and obtain those locked away votes.
It's illegal to go back and recount those votes?
Yeah. So it's really...
Wow.
It's, that's pretty... It's a very complicated system, and, you know, depending on the state and... in a situation like that. So.
Thank you very much. Good work. Good research.
Sorry I couldn't provide a more clear picture. Like I said, it's just, you know, rules vary by state and how things are dealt with.
Okay. Excellent. Thanks, Joe. Thanks very much for doing the research. So that's the story so we have to be careful on two fronts. One is, will there be enough opposition to the Bush White House and the Bush presidency so that we vote him out of office in November? The second question is, when you go to vote, will your vote actually be tallied as the way you really voted? Or will there be some chicanery going on? Will we ever know? As I said earlier, Johns Hopkins University, a very respected institution, along with the state of Maryland, did research on these e-voting systems, and they are troubled. The outcome is troubling. You can go in and hack the system, alter the vote tally, and do it without leaving any footprints or fingerprints behind. So here we go into the polls, finally, bestirring ourselves to actually get out there and vote. And what's the story? The story is that our votes may not be tallied correctly. Look at Georgia. I'm looking at and look at Allard Strickland. And this, we had a lot of e-voting in Colorado, and Zogby called it, said it was going to be close, and he called it for Strickland, and Allard won by a lot more than Zogby predicted. Zogby and others called it for Max Cleland and the incumbent governor, Democratic governor, in Georgia, which was a state that went completely e-voting. The whole state went e-voting with that election. And Cleland, who was supposed to win by a lot, I don't know, I can't remember now, maybe 5 or 6 points, and the incumbent governor was supposed to win by 10 or 11 points. I mean, not a close race. They both lost, and not small. They lost big. And sounds to me like something happened with the voting. I just can't shake that idea. So here is Frank Rich writing in the New York Times yesterday talking about infoganda. It's like infotainment and propaganda, fake newscasts. We're so used to them with The Daily Show and with Saturday Night Live Weekend Update that when all the fake news comes out from the White House, it's just same old, same old. 303-382-1150. Ray in Littleton, how are you live with Enid?
Hello, Enid. I'm certainly grateful for your show.
Thank you.
This spin meisters in the Bush administration, every right-wing talk show is spinning all of the...
That's why they're so dizzy.
That's right. They're busy.
They're dizzy. They're busy being dizzy.
But here's one thing, Ina, that they cannot spin, and it rests directly on the shoulders of George Bush and Cheney, and that is the number of dead American soldiers in Bush's war. And I'd like to make a suggestion that if you could, on your radio program, every day mention the number of dead American soldiers and the number of wounded and maimed American soldiers.
I don't know if I've ever seen a count of wounded and maimed. Dead is around, what, 650 or so by now?
Yeah, I think it's 582.
582.
Last I heard.
Okay.
And it was around 11,000, the last I heard, about wounded. But... that information has to be available, but you never hear it.
No, and you don't see stories of the wounded and the maimed. That, not very many stories. You're starting to see a few, but not many stories of them being interviewed and yes. how their lives are irretrievably altered. Ray, it's a good suggestion, and I thank you. 303-382-1150. And just one more item I want to share with you. This is amazing. In Tennessee, the Department of Health had to pull radio spots because black listeners were complaining that the spots reinforced racial stereotypes. These are PSA, public service announcements, telling listeners to, quote, cut down on salt, fat, and serving sizes to help your heart. Try baking your chicken, eating a fresh tossed salad on the side, and scrumptious watermelon for dessert. The spot was targeted at the prevalence of heart disease and diabetes, which are killing non-whites at a faster rate than for whites. And blacks screamed about it, and it was pulled. They said it reinforced racial stereotypes. I think this is complete BS and an example of PC run amok. What do you think? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Now, the next generation of talk radio.
Talk with us.
Blah, 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 blah.
Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
Come to Playnix now and save up to $1,100 on Backyard Adventures swing sets. Playnix, total safety for total fun. Playnix toys, Inglewood, Lone Tree, Flatirons, and Littleton.
How about 15% off a case of wine? Sounds like an irresistible deal, doesn't it? Brenda Francis here to tell you that Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits now offers you another great way to save money. Mondays only, we offer 15% off a mix and match case of wine. You only need to purchase 12 bottles of wine to qualify. Sale wines count towards the 12 but don't receive the discount. You receive 15% off and enjoy sale prices too. Now there is no reason to purchase wine at full price ever again. Enjoy the Mondays only 15% off on 12 bottles, 24 bottles, or 144 bottles of wine. Sign up for our email newsletter at GoldenTriangleWines.com or ask for a hard copy of our newsletter for information about sale items, feature items, and special purchases. Golden Triangle Wine and Spirits, southwest corner of 12th and Broadway, in the old Metropolitan Antiques Building, 303-893-8437. That's 303-893-8437. On the web at goldentrianglewines.com.
Mike Ditka, NFL Hall of Fame player and coach.
Hey, I know the ability to stay in the game is what really counts, and that's why I take Levitra. Levitra, Vardenafil HCL. It works for me. Find out if it'll work for you. Take action and ask your doctor about prescription Levitra. Visit Levitra.com or call 1-866-LEVITRA today.
Individual results may vary. Ask if a free trial is right for you. Levitra, stay in the game.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Curtis Arts and Humanities Center in Greenwood Village presents Youth Art Month now through April 2nd. Youth Art Month promotes art by encouraging children in grades K through 12 to create artwork for exhibits in their states. Local students from 30 area schools are part of the exhibit. Hours are Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Wednesdays and Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Curtis Arts and Humanities Center at 2349 East Orchard Road. For more information and for hours on select Saturdays, call 303-797-1779.
Talk to Bill O'Reilly.
When Iraq was invaded, Clark didn't like that at all. He disagreed with that policy. And then he started to get really angry, okay? And then subsequently he left the administration. That's what was going on here with this Clark, all right? He doesn't like Bush. If he were to just put Bush and Clinton on the same pedestal, which is the truth, both men were not proactive enough in getting bin Laden. That's the truth.
Bill O'Reilly, weekday mornings from 10 till noon on AM 1150 KNRC. More opinions than you can keep track of. Stay with AM 1150 KNRC as newsmakers comment on the news. A daily feature at 7:07 a.m. and 5:07 p.m. with Senators John Andrews and Mark Hillman, Representative Andrew Romanoff, and former Colorado Governor Dick Lamb. Another exclusive feature here from AM 1150 KNRC, where you can hear both sides talk. Listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
The director, Mr. Tannen, or Mr. McLaughlin, his deputy, they were presenting the president information about the terrorist threat, and we were responding to that information. Unfortunately, we never got the information or intelligence that we needed to tell us that these 19 guys were in the country, and already there was a plot underway.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
Here again, Enid Goldstein.
Is the joke on us or what? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. Let's go to the phone. Shirley, calling from Aurora. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good, thank you.
It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'm a first-time caller, and I listen to you quite often.
Oh, wait a minute. We have something for you.
Oh, well, great.
There it is.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I wanted to quickly comment on the statement that I think you were reading based on something, an article that was in a Louisiana paper about information being...
Tennessee. They were doing a PSA, which is a public service announcement, telling listeners to cut down on salt, fat, serving sizes to try to help your heart. Try baking your chicken, eating a fresh tossed salad on the side, and scrumptious watermelon for dessert. And it was the spot was targeted at the prevalence of heart disease and diabetes, which are killing non-whites and blacks. Screamed that it should be pulled because it reinforced racial stereotypes, which I think is silly. But what do you think, Shirley?
I think it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd. You know, I'm speaking, I'm a black woman, I might say. I got a pacemaker this past September, to my shock and amazement, I needed. Now, I'm not obese. I'm not really overweight. But my point is this. The symptoms that I was getting that led to getting this pacemaker, had I not heard or gotten that kind of information, I might be dead by now, because the symptoms that, in particular, that women get for heart disease or heart attack is many times very different from that a man would get. Had I not known that, had I not known about diets and what to look for, I might be dead by now. That is the most absurd. I would think people would be grateful to get the information.
Well, that's what I think, too, and then to pull it, because this is information that really benefits anybody.
It absolutely does. And another statistic, I'll say this quickly and let you go, that I had heard that, again, made me alert was that black women, and I hope I have this stat close to being correct, black women have a 60 to a 65% greater chance of heart attack and heart disease and other ethnicities because of, let's face it, the way we sometimes eat and the fact that many of us don't exercise. Now,
we're going to have to leave it there, Shirley. We're out of time. I thank you for the call. I appreciate your comments. And call us again. I want to thank Joe Anderson. Thank you for your good work. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for your good work. Thanks to all of you who called and listened. Doug Kellett is up next from 3 to 6 right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Let's have lunch tomorrow, noon to 3, same time, same place. Do something generous. Try to leave the world a better place than you found it. Clean up any mess you find and do your taxes. I'll see you at noon tomorrow. I mean it.
Time now for the 180-degree turn to the right. AM 1150, KNRC, Inglewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Bob Kerr at the White House. The target this afternoon of a blistering attack by Senator Ted Kennedy, demanding on the Senate floor that Condoleezza Rice and President Bush both testify publicly before the 9/11 Commission, Kennedy declaring the American public should not accept anything less.
For a national tragedy of these proportions, the buck stops at the White House. 3,000 people died on our shores and on their watch.
The issue now becoming politically charged. The Massachusetts legislature nearing a vote on a constitutional amendment that would legalize civil unions but ban gay marriage if approved by voters. Massachusetts would become the second state to allow same-sex unions. And Wall Street rebounding from Friday's losses, with numbers still settling, the Dow up more than 110 points, the NASDAQ and S&P also closing higher. I'm Bob Kerr, NBC News Radio.
I love old homes and homes with character.
It's called a gable roof, I think it is.
Huge kitchen with an island in the middle.
I don't know the terms. I get lost in the process.
Title closings.
Contingency clause.
What are they going to take? What am I going to offer?
Who does it? Who do I call? I have no idea.
If you're looking to buy a home, you need someone with expertise.